Und wenn ich meine, der Ätzem an jenem Azeh, Yatsu, Kotzivis, Hashem, Eretz, Mitzrayim, I think it says was said in the year Tav Kol Samachay, the same like last week's, a week later.
Okay.
It was in 1805, 200 years ago, Shabbos Parshas Boy. Okay. The Pasuk describes the Ätzem an yenem Azeh, that in the middle of the day, of this day, referring to the 15th day of the month of Nisan, Yatzul Kopshiva Shashem Eretz Mitzrayim. All the hosts of God left the land of Mitzrayim. The hosts of God, referring to the multitudes of Jewish people that all left Mitzrayim on that day. Now, the Alter Rebbe is going to address in this maimer, similar to the theme of last week when we were learning, the various names of Hashem. Last week we spoke the difference between the name Elohim and the name Kel Shakai and the name Havaya. This week in this maimer the Alter Rebbe again addresses the differences of the names of Hashem. Particularly this week we're going to focus on the name Tzavakos. Because in this pasuk we have the word Tzivos. Hashem, the armies of Hashem, or the hosts of God, but it's the name Tzivos over here. It's connected to the word Havaya, the Tzivos Havaya. But we know that the name Tzavakos is a name unto its own. One of the seven names of God that is not erasable is the name Tzavakos. When we're referring to a godly name, it's actually a question in the Gemara. If this name, if the name Tzavakos is erasable or not. We know that the various attributes that we refer to for God, for example, as God being a wise, God being strong, God being mighty, Hagadol, Hagibor, Hanun, compassionate, Rahim, we can erase these. Even though we're referring to God, the name itself doesn't capture, doesn't contain within itself a divinity. So the name can be erased. However, there are seven names which we refer to God, and those names are we can't erase them because there is a divine presence in those names. So it's not only a name that we are using to describe God. God actually is present in those names, and that's why there's a holiness to the name. We can't erase it. So there's a question in regards to the name Tzavakos in the Gemara, if that's a holy name or not. But then the Gemara says that our final halacha is that the name Tzavakos is a holy name. However, what the Alter Rebbe is going to address over here is that how come we don't find that the name Tzavakos is ever mentioned as a name of God in the Torah? In the Chumash itself we don't find. In the Navi, in the Prophets, that's when we find the name Tzavakos comes into usage. And we see that Chana was the first one to use it as a name of Hashem, and then later by Shmuel HaNavi, and particularly it was most frequently used by the later Prophets. Chagai, Zechariah, and Malachi are always referred to God many times. Most of the prophecies was Koyama Hashem Tzavakos. But in the Torah, we don't find the name Tzavakos. Now, we do find mention of the name Tzivos, but over here, Tzivos, referring to the Jewish people. And it's not a holy name. Over here, in the Torah, you can erase technically the word Tzivos, because it's not a name of Hashem. It's only in the Navi where the name Tzavakos begins to be identified as a name of God. And that is the description this week in the parasha what is the significance of the name of Tzavakos, and why is it that the name Tzavakos only becomes a name of Hashem only in the parasha of only during the times of the Nevi'im. It's an interesting minor, especially the Alter Rebbe is going to discuss the progression of the divine light and Torah's manifestation in the world. The Torah comes to the world in various stages, and the progression of the manifestation of divinity into the world goes through a process. The Nevi'im accomplished and bring the divine light into the world farther than Moshe Rabbeinu did it. Meaning lower, they're bringing it more down to earth. And through that progression, that's where the name Tshuvakos comes in. So therefore, and then the author is going to explain why in the Torah we don't use the name Tshuvakos as a name for Hashem, but rather only as a Tshuvayis Hashem, as connected to the armies of Hashem. So let's read again. The Etzem Ayayim Azay Yatsu Kol Tshuvayis Hashem Eretz Mitzrayim, in the midst of the day, all the army, the hosts of God, have left the land of Mitzrayim. Hine Amar Ezal, the sages tell us, Al Chana, in regards to Chana, the mother of Shmuel HaNavi, that Yom Shabbat HaKadosh Baruch Hu Esay Lamai, from the day that God created His world, Lehoya Adam Shekari HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tzavais. There wasn't anybody that called God Tzavakos, Ad Shabbos Chana, until Chana came, and she referred to God as the Lord of the hosts. Tzavakos means the hosts, and Hashem, she refers to God as the Lord of the hosts. And so Chana refers to Hashem as Ahainu, meaning that he paschot chila, she opened up, she's the first one, mikvesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu havayet tzvachos, to call Hashem havayet tzvachos, la'amer HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it seems like God was excited about it. This seems like a great thing, that she accomplished a certain breakthrough. She broke through the name tzvachos, and Hashem should be called tzvachos. So God is called tzvachos, the host. What is the greatness of it? And Hashem tells Chana, because you did that, you're going to have a great... That's why she married and had a son, a prophet. Both her son, the prophet, and he was going to prophesize with the name Tzavakis. And God says, that your son is going to open up a prophecy with this name. That so says God Tzavakis, so said the Lord of the hosts, I remember. It's interesting. Even though Chana refers to God by the name Tzavakos, this is just an observation that I just realized as I was saying this now, she wasn't prophesizing with the name Tzavakos. She was praying to Hashem. She was referring to Him as Hashem Tzavakos. It wasn't a prophecy. What Hashem tells her as a reward of you opening up and speaking of Me as Hashem Tzavakos, as the God of the hosts, you're going to merit to have a son of prophet who is going to say prophecy in the name of Tzavakos. So saying prophecy in the name of Tzavakos is far greater than her prayer and referring to Hashem as Hashem Tzavakos. Because Hashem is actually revealing Himself through that name. Not only her indicating God as Havaya Tzavakos. So the prophecy is greater than just an indication or just referring to Hashem as Havaya Tzavakos. So that needs to be understood. As we're going to learn later in the Maamar, it was actually Chana that enabled God to speak through the name Tzavakos. God speaking through a certain name means that Hashem is being channeled through a specific channel. She was the one who enabled this channel to be able to be used as a channel, and Shmuel was the one who transmitted godliness to the world through the channel of Tzavakos that his mother opened up, as we're going to see soon. However, even though Shmuel HaNavi used it, however, Shmuel used it very infrequent. Where did it become common to be used? In the latter Nevi'im, Nivu B'Shem Zeh. So they prophesied with this name. Particularly, we find that Chagi...
Happy birthday
to
you and to your wife.
Good. Wow. You're not going to let this go by unnoticed. Thank you. Wow, that's so nice. Yeah, some people will need.
Look at that. Wow.
The breakthrough of Havaya Tzavakos, yeah. Referring to Hashem as Havaya Tzavakos. Moshe Rabbeinu mentioned Tzavakos, but Tzivas Havaya, it's not Hashem as a Tzavakos, right? Not God as being called Tzavakos. Alright, so now, the Kaimalon, and we hold, and now we accept the halacha, I mean, even though this is a matter of dispute, that the name Tzavakos is one of the names that is not to be erased. So this is considered a name, a divine name, the name Tzavakos. We have to understand, again, why is this name not used in the Torah? Why was it that the Nevi'im started referring to God by the name of Tzvakish, Dafke from the Nevi'im? And what is the significance of that name, of the name Tzvakish? His name, Mitchila, at first, we have to understand, yes, Lahagdin, we have to preface by his spouse. Inyan Hashem Isma. What are names in general? Referring to God by the various names, what are the names? What is the content of names? Gam, Mailas, Shem HaMiyuchid, Shem HaVaya, Al Shara Shemes. We also have to find, to understand the quality of what? Of the specific, specific name of Hashem, which is Shem HaVaya, the name Yudke Vavke, Al Shara Shemes on other names. The Achakach Yizbarim Yetz Hashem, Inyan Shem Tzavakas. And after that, we'll understand the name Tzavakas. As the Alter Rebbe is saying, he's saying, in order to gain understanding in the name Tzavakas, we have to first understand what is it that we refer to God by all the various names. What do they mean, the various different names of Hashem? And also the superiority of the name Avaya. From all the names of Hashem, we know that Avaya is called Shem Etzem. It's his essential name. As refers to the other names, where we say they're only names referring to Hashem in a specific mode. Right? The name of Kael is the name of Chesed, the name of Elohim is the name of Gevurah. What God says, when I'm judging the world, I'm called Elohim. When I'm called, but what is my essential name? I'm the Havaya. I am Havaya. That's what I'm always called. The name Havaya refers to Hashem always, not in a particular manifestation. However, the other names of all the various other names are only God as He's manifesting Himself in this particular mode of behavior, in a mode, a particular projection. So that needs to be understood. So we once we'll understand the significance of names, the various divine names, then we'll understand the meaning of the Shem Havaya. That will enable us to understand what was the breakthrough of the name Tzavakas. So let's read. So, Hine Yeduah is known, Shemahu Seif Atzmus Seif Shelo Ein Seif Baruch Hu, the essence of the Ein Seif of Baruch Hu, of the Infinite One Blessed is He, who Parshat Petachos HaPshitus, is simple with utter simplicity. And it's not relevant, we can't attribute to God's essence, to God Himself, we can't attribute to Him any types of descriptions. Any descriptions that we find that the Torah relates, or in the prophets, or in Divrei Chazal, or in the sages. We have various different types of descriptions which seem to be describing God. Kamoi, for example, Chacham, the wise one, Chassid, the pious one, Rachamam, the compassionate one, Chulu. So these various descriptions of Kiyotzebem and their like, we cannot attribute these things to God Himself. Why? Who is Barach, Merumam, the Nizga of Umugdal, Mikol, Gedarimel? Because God Himself is exalted and separated from all of these, from all these descriptions. Why? Because wisdom, which is considered to be the first quality, and therefore the superior quality in creations, in comparison to God Himself, even wisdom, which is the highest quality in man or in creations, is considered by God to be similar and alike to a physical activity. And for sure, and that of course goes without speaking, that the emotions, which are lower than the intelligence, are definitely considered by God even to be an act, not something that is descriptive of Him. What is he saying? It's very much this. Whenever we're referring to God in any type of description whatsoever, whether it's descriptions that the Torah itself gives, that are biblical, whether it's descriptions that are in the prophets, whether it's descriptions that we find the sages speak of God, as compassionate one, as a kind one, as an intelligent being, these are all not to be mistaken as descriptions on God Himself. God Himself is beyond. Why? Because Hashem is Parshat Tachos HaPshitus. Hashem is simple with utter simplicity, meaning He is beyond any description. And therefore He is utterly, utterly indescribable, unfathomable, undescriptive. So we can't say anything about it. When do we speak about God as, but after all, we do say about Hashem that, wow, that Hashem has certain attributes. That is only God projects Himself to us in the way that He wants us to know Him. So it's only the manner in which Hashem wants the creations to perceive Him, those in that sense is when we speak about names, meaning as God is perceivable to the creations. But as He is in His inner self, over there we can't speak of any name. Because names don't relate to Him whatsoever, because a name is a description. And God doesn't have any description, because every description means we're talking about a certain limitation, certain characterization. And a characterization means you're characterizing it to be so and not so. That's a description, that's a limitation. And God is beyond. That's what we say. There is no thought that can grasp Him. He's not grasped. He cannot be described in any description. To the point, to what degree do we say that God is transcends all descriptions? The highest description we can give is wisdom, is intelligence. By human beings, wisdom is the highest thing. By God, we say that to Hashem, wisdom or intelligence is considered like a physical act. Just like a physical act is the lowest type of manifestation. We say a man is not an activity. You do an activity. You're not an action. You project an action. You write something. You're not writing. We never attribute a human. We say a person could be a writer because he writes. But the act of writing is an act of writing. It's not the person. But sometimes when it comes to wisdom, being that's already a far higher thing, that we can attribute to man himself by saying the person is wise. And he is wise. Because wisdom, being of a far more superior quality, is something that man identifies with as a description on the person. Right? But by God, to him, there's absolutely no difference between a physical act and intelligence. Even the most superior, most sublime intelligence, even what we call divine intelligence in relationship to God, is equal to a physical activity. As the Tzemach Tzedek puts it in Derech Mitzvah Somer, that to God, the level of Chachma of Atzilus and a simple rock are absolutely equal. Not to say that Chachma of Atzilus, Chachma of the world of Atzilus, which is the first most divine manifestation to the world, is any closer to God than a grain of sand. It's only that for whatever reason, as we're going to learn in the Maamar, God does choose to bond and relate to Chachma and become one with it. But in essence, Chachma is infinitely removed from Him. And therefore, we cannot in any way describe God Himself by any descriptions. He is totally beyond. However, nevertheless, we do speak about if God is beyond any description. And we say by Him that if God does not have any of these attributes, any type of anger, kind, compassionate, great, or whatever. So why do we find the Torah referring to God as being great? Right? If we're going to say, well, it's the way God wants us to perceive Him. But if that perception is not Him, so what do you mean He wants us to perceive Him in that perception? Then it's not Him that we're perceiving. We're perceiving what? We're perceiving a great intelligence, which isn't Him, because He's infinitely beyond that intelligence. We're perceiving some divine creation called intelligence, or some creation that God created called kindness, or some great compassionate force, an energy of compassion. But that energy of compassion isn't Him. Here we're saying we're referring to God as God being compassionate. We're referring to God as God being. So there has to be some link between the essential, there has to be some connection between the essence of God that transcends and is totally beyond, and what? And these attributes. Some link there has to be. So what is the link? So here, let's see. Apu pikei, and nevertheless, yesh metzias inyan atzayayim. We do have some the metzias. We find the concept of descriptions. Halalu shabo b'tanach lo b'divrei chazal. We find in Tanakh and in divrei chazal descriptions. I know a better chmaimer chazal, as we find, but so the Rebbe is going to explain over here. So how does it refer to God? But this is only in the way we find as chazal tells us, the meaning of the sages tell us, the makom sha'atum moitzeh b'dolasoi, in the place where you find God's greatness, sham atum moitzeh am v'sinus, in the place where you find God's greatness, that's where you find his humility. God lowers himself down to enclose himself in 10 vessels. The ke'efer kelim d'atzilus, in the 10 vessels of the world of emanation. Which are the 10 attributes of kindness and severity and so on. The 10 attributes are chachmas, called wisdom, bina's understanding, and das's knowledge. Then we have chesed, the emotional attributes, chesed being kindness, gevura being restraint or severity. And then we have tferes, which is beauty, and netzach, which is victory, and hoyd, glory, yisoyd, bonding, and malchus, which is royalty or sovereignty. These are the 10 attributes. So we say that, wow, that God merges with these 10 attributes. The Gimel Rishonis and the 3 first ones, which are Chabad. And it's only then that it's applicable to speak, to call God with these descriptions. Then we can call God as being wise, as a result of him clothing himself in the attribute of Chacham. The commander Elio, and as Elio, the prophet says, "Am chakim, you are wise." What does that mean? You are wise. Piddish. When it says that God is a wise and intelligent being, he's not referring to say that God himself is intelligent, because God himself transcends intelligence infinitely, is infinitely beyond it. What then does he mean that you are intelligent? Meaning that means that God, your humility is infinite, that you're able to lower yourself down to a place where you can project to your creations as an intelligent being. Which means that at that point, Hashem merges sort of with a keli, with this attribute of called intelligence, to the point that it's him being intelligent through the attribute of intelligence. And now when we're seeing Hashem, we're seeing an intelligent being, but not in essence that he's intelligent. Piddish and Safir and Vishanusai, we're talking about God's humility, Shemash the Latsmay, as Latsmay lowers himself down, Lashlabish Bitchinus Kliya Chachma, to enclose himself in the vessel of Chachma. Ime Yoysha Chachma e Nerich Eloklau Kinus Kliya. Even though that what? That Chachma has absolutely no relevance and no significance at all to him himself. Chay Mashful Latsmay, and so too God lowers himself, Lashlabish Bitchinus Chesed, to lower himself down in the attribute, in the container, in the vessel of chesed, of kindness, the nikra az hagadot, and then we can speak of God as being great, or chesed, or pious. Zehu shar gula hu andesinus, that's what we mean, that the greatness itself, that's his humility. Shar today anav v'ashpala, that it's only through this humility and this lowering of himself. Shehis pilas atzmai, that he lowers himself down with an inconceivable humility. To enclose himself in the attribute of chesed, it's only then that we can refer to God as great. Which is not the essence of God, which he himself is completely beyond and aloof from this description. Can this play out? As mentioned above. In the place where you find God's greatness, the simple meaning is that even though God is so great, nevertheless he's also some humble. The fact that he's so great doesn't make him haughty or arrogant. But God, despite his greatness, also comes down and lowers himself down. But the deeper meaning is no. We can only speak about God being great only after God lowers and contracts himself, we can say mitigates himself, to the point that we can speak of him as being great. As he is in his essential being, there's no description at all. So why can you speak about great? Great is already a description. And therefore, so of course, but the only thing we should say is that he's not lacking, to God himself we can say that what? He's not lacking whatever power of greatness. But to speak to him about describing him as great is descriptive. And he himself has no description. So he's beyond. However, here is where the Rebbe is bringing in that why? That God relates to the world through a process called Kalim. And what are the process called Kalim? Through the process of Spheres. And what are Spheres? Spheres are these of the ten attributes through which Hashem manifests and channels his undefinable infinite self to us as creations. As Hashem manifests his light through the Spheres, here he's projecting through particular Kalim. Now, the muscle given in many places for this, and we touched upon this last week, is, for example, when you have simple water that is contained in various colors glasses. So you have different bottles. You have a red bottle and a green Perrier bottle, and then you have a clear one, and then you have a blue bottle, and all the various different bottles. So when you're looking at the water in essence is what? It's plain simple water. It didn't change. But being that it's coming through the shade of that particular color, so to perceive to us, the water is projected as red water or green water or whatever. Same is also true with God. Or we can say that's through a light coming through the very, as you stop by a traffic light, and you have the red light and the yellow light and the green light. The light within is a plain simple light that is colorless. I mean, in as much as we can say light is colorless, but colorless in relationship to the colors of red, yellow, and green. But as it's projecting through these particular colors, so what do we get? We get these various colors coming to us. So the same is also God Himself as absolutely colorless, absolutely undefinable. But as He chooses to manifest Himself some way to the creation that we can have a relationship in, or we can know Him in some way, we can't relate to nothingness. Because we are something. So our minds have to relate to a something of being. So we can speak, let me speak about God. We speak about Him, we see He's a compassionate Father, He's a caring King, He's a benevolent Shepherd. These are all human terms that we're applying to God. But are they just the fabric of our imagination? Is this absolutely not true? So the Rebbe says, no, it's not that it's not true. Of course it is true. Because as God relates to the creation, He is shining His infinite light through these kalim. And as He shines through these kalim, He picks up, as we can say, these attributes, and they relate to Him. They relate to Him, but Him as He's showing His face to us, not to Him essentially. Okay. So now, however, how about... Oh, so now, once we speak about these spheres, here we have to distinguish between the spheres comprise two parts. They comprise what we call Oiris, and there is something called Kalim. Oir is what? Going back to the muscle of the water, or the example of a light, you have two things. You have the light, and the light is simple. And the light is the same light in the green as it is in the yellow light, as it is in the red light. Then we have the Kalim. The Kalim are the particular color that is being formed by what? By the green shade, and or the red or the yellow that is creating that color. So with God, the kindness, the fact that what's coming out projecting to us as God as being kind, or the fact that God is projecting and we see that God is being, that description of compassion, or the description of intelligence, or the description of a sovereign ruler, that description is attributed to the vessel. That's what we call vessels. Because that's what's giving it some context or form of description. The energy that is beyond it all, the juice, if we can say, the inner light, the inner thing that is really the same in all of them, that's what we call oir. So oir in essence remains pure. The lights remain pure. The vessels are the descriptions that give these, that make it appear to us and to affect us in its particular parameters, in its particular context. So now, the Rebbe says, in regards to these Oiris and the Kalim, when we refer to the various names of God, as God being called Kael, and God being called Elohim, and the God being called Aleph Daled Nun Yud, so these are the various descriptions to the Kalim, to God as He's manifesting through the Kalim. More in particular, it's not to God as God is manifesting to the Kalim, but it's to the energy of the Kalim itself. As the Alter Rebbe is going to explain it. Let's read inside. Now, Zimine, Shmoisav Shalakadu Baruch Hu, the names of God, Hema Kalim, the Esesh Tzidus Atzilus. These are the Kalim, these are the vessels of the ten attributes of Atzilus. Shemislavish Behem Oirin Seif Baruch Hu, that the infinite, undescribable life of God encloses itself in them, and he unites with them the tachlis ayichud with absolute unity. Al derech, similar to iu v'garmi uchad, he is one with his garments. Haimu, what does that mean? Shem keil u'b'chinas kli acheset. Shem keil is in the vessel of chesed. V'shem alukim v'chinas kli agvura. And shem alukim is in the keili of gevura. Shem adna, the name adna min alav dalav nun yun v'chinas malchus. Isn't the attribute of Malchus, because Adon means a master, a ruler. So that's when God is projecting through the the Keli of Malchus. Amnam, however, Shem Havaya, the name Havaya, who apnimius shall call Hashemus. Shehem HaKelim. Shem Havaya, the apnimius, is the innermost of all the names, which the names are referring to the Keli, to the vessels. What is the name Havaya? The name Havaya is the pure light. As it's coming, the pure light that is not affected yet, the inner light. As we spoke, regards to the various colors shining through the various things. The color itself, the light itself that is inside the various kalim is a pure light. That's what we call Havaya. The names, the various different names of Shem Kael or Shem Elikim, are referring to what? To the vessels themselves. Not the vessel in it by itself, but the divine energy in the vessel to form the vessel. That's what we're referring to as the name Kael, as the name of the king. Now, besides an energy of God in the vessels that creates these shapes, and these, let's put it this way. You have a red, you have a light. The light is going to go through a red color. And now it's going to project red. Good, but how do you get this red glass in the first place? So there has to be a certain, there is that red glass, or there is that yellow. That's the vessel itself, not the light shining through it. The vessel itself. That vessel itself is what we call the kalim. These kalim are also divine. And that's already a whole question onto its own. We can begin to try to understand, well, how did that come into being? And how do we say, like, these pieces of God as being kind, a kind vessel, and a compassionate vessel, and an intelligent vessel, or an emotional vessel, or the various different descriptions in the vessels themselves. Because as we're saying now, that these vessels are what? Are godly in it by themselves. But for whatever, let's leave it to the side for the moment. But the point over here being is that there is the vessel itself. The vessel itself, the energy of God as it is forging and forming and bringing into existence a vessel that should define the pure life in a particular form, that energy is called name Elohim and the name Elohim. So it's not the vessel, because the vessel is what? The vessel is already a limitation. It's not God. So we have to be speaking about God when we're saying the name Kael. We're speaking about God. We're saying the name Elohim, right? We're speaking about God, not about a vessel. So therefore, we have to say it's not the vessel itself that we're calling by the name Kael. We're calling the divine, the energy that's bringing about the vessel to be a vessel. That's the name Kael. How about the name Havaya? That name Havaya refers to God's life as it is predefined. It doesn't have any. It doesn't have any. And so it's the juice flowing through all the vessels. It's the actual life as it is still undescripted. However, what being in the vessels, being in the flowing through the attributes of Atzilus, the various vessels from Chachma down to Malchus, but the life in essence, not. The oil that's in the kalim, not the kalim itself. The oil is, that's called Shem Havaya. That's what the Rebbe is saying. Yeah.
So again, when we say Shem and Kael, we're not talking about the
Kael. We're talking about the chayus in the Kael, but not the oil hamishlavish for Kael. even though in Berachim of Shashat on another place it does speak, it does mention it that way, and that's the question that it is spoken about. But over here in this Maimer, the Alpha Rebbe is discussing Hashem Kael as being the Oyer that's Mahava the Kaelim. Okay, the Chayus that's Mahava, meaning that brings the Kaelim into existence. Not the Oyer flowing through the Kaelim, because that's Oyer Avaya. That's Oyer, that's pure. In essence, the same energy that's in Chesed is the same exact energy that's in Gevura. It's still a simple energy. It's only when it's projecting through here, it's affecting in what? In this particular manner. And here it's projected. So what we're really saying over here is that Kael is referring to, the various names are referring to a power of limitation in God. It's God's power, but God's power of limitation. Because we're talking about the energy in a form of description, in a form of chesed, right? In a form of chesed, or in a form of gevura. We're not talking about God's infinite power. We're speaking about God, but just like God has the power just like God has the power to be infinite, God has the power to describe Himself in finite terms. And that itself is part of His infinite ability. But nevertheless, we're focusing on His particular power of being Kael, of being Chesedig, or being Gevuradig.
So is this referring to the Eir HaMamalos?
No, because the Eir HaMamalos I was getting to. When we talk about every flow or every activity that God does in the world, which we say it's through the oiris, the oil, the energy of Hashem coming through the vessels, coming through the containers, and therefore protect. There it's we're speaking about God Himself affecting all these things. And it's not chesed that we know that on Sunday, God created the world, and the creation of Sunday was a creation of kindness. On Monday, what type of creation was it? It was a creation of restraint, of gevura. On Tuesday, it was a creation of teferes. So, who was creating the world? Was it chesed creating the world? Was it the divine power of chesed creating the world? Or was it God creating the world through channeling Himself through chesed? Now, if it would be what? If it would be just the name Kael, or just the name Elohim, then we would not say it's Hashem creating. It's a godly power creating the world. It's Kael creating, which would seem like gracious, but Elohim, it's Elohim creating. But that's not really, because later it says in the Torah, what does it say? B'yayma shayis havaya Elohim eretz yishamayim, as we spoke last week. Which means that the creation is coming about through the oyer, the undefined infinite light of Hashem that is beyond description, shining through the kelim, therefore affecting in a limited way. But it's God Himself creating. It's the oyer that's coming through, creating the world. It's on Sunday Hashem was creating through the attribute of Chesed. On Monday He was creating through the attribute of Gevura, and on Tuesday so on and so forth. That's the difference if we're talking about the Oyeris that are the Slapsus in the Kaelim, because then we're referring to God Himself in His infinite self. However, shining and projecting in a way that it's going to affect because it's traveling through the Kaelim. And therefore going to affect in a limited manner. Or, if we're speaking about something of the Kaelim itself. That's already Kael, Elohim in themselves. So that is already, it's divine, as we're going to explain soon. It is because the Kaelim themselves are godly. But nevertheless, it's a divine attribute, not God Himself. But when we speak about the Oyer coming through the Kaelim, the light traveling through the Kaelim, it's God Himself doing through the creation.
So we talk about the Oyer of these names.
Yeah.
It's referring to...
Oishem Havayim.
We
speak about the oyer of
the oyer of the name.
Yes, that's right.
So we're talking about oyer that is creating the characteristics or attributes.
That's right. That's right. So it's referring to Hashem. We can't be speaking about the Kaeli itself, because the Kaeli itself is what? It's already a thing. It's already a thing. Even though it's in Atzilus we say it's godly, but it's still a thing. Whenever we're speaking about a name for God, we're referring to God. We can't refer to anything else in any name. In any name, we cannot be referring to anything else but God Himself, because we're talking to Him. We don't believe in many gods. We have one God. However, but when we're saying Shem Kael, we're speaking about to the power of God that is not as projecting through the Kaeli of Chesed, but that's bringing about that the Kaeli itself of Chesed. You know what I'm saying? It's bringing about the Kaeli of Chesed. It's sort of like Guf and Neshama. What's the difference between Guf and Neshama? The Neshama comes into the body to enliven the body. But the body has its own energy on its own. See, the body is not created from the soul. The body has its own life. Then the Neshama comes into the body, and the person lives his life through the soul being active through the body. So there's two things. There is an energy that's within the very physical. When the person, God forbid, passes away. So the soul departs the body, but the body is still alive. Not alive, the body still exists, it's still here. Meaning there is some energy that's there, contained within the body, by its own right. Okay, that's similar to what we're talking about over here. The names of Kael, Elukim, and all those names are the names of the Chayus that's in the Kaeli itself. Now what is the name Avaya? The name Avaya is the Oyer, is the soul of God Himself, the soul itself being Hashem Himself, as He manifests Himself into the Kalim to create and to give life. The Oyer being the Slavish in Kalim. That's Avaya. And that is why the Rebbe says every time when we speak about Hashem, being that it's not the Kalim themselves that ever have any power or do anything. It's always the Oyer working through the Kalim, meaning it's always God Himself, His infinite life, meaning He Himself, affecting through the Kalim. That's why all the other names, they always pair up with Havaya. We say Havaya Elohim, Havaya Adnan, Havaya, there's always, we find them sometimes on their own. But even when they're on their own, it's only that the Havaya is there, but we don't perceive the Havaya energy. We only perceive the Kaeli. We're so strongly affected by the parameters of the Kaeli, by the limitations of the Creator, that we don't sense the pure, simple life that's really beyond it all. And that's what we need, Bereishis Bara Elokim. Bereishis Bara Elokim, what was perceived to the creation was only the limited power that was created, but the infinite power of God that is beyond was not perceived to us. But it was really there. That's why later it says, "Beyoy Masayif Havaya Lekim Eretz Hashemayim." That Havaya was active there, but it wasn't perceived in the creation. However, if it would be something which we would say Elokim itself does without Havaya, that would mean an effect of the Kaeli, and that doesn't happen. So, because everything is the Oyeris, the Oyer flowing through the Kaeli, and that's why we find the name Havaya preceding all the other names, but we don't find it by other names. You won't see ever Elokim. Adna, I don't think so. It's the name Havaya that is the one that always joins with the other ones. Why does Havaya join? Because Havaya can join with any name. Because what is Havaya? Havaya is the Oyer that's in the Kaeli, that's in any Kaeli. There's Havaya that transmits the undefinable God to project through a particular Kaeli. That's Havaya. So Havaya is not only, more than that, as you're going to explain, Havaya is not only, it's not like we're saying, Havaya is also not God Himself. Because Havaya is also a name. And on God Himself we can't say any name whatsoever. However, what is Havaya? Havaya is the link, the bridge, that brings from a state of complete transcendence, where He's not manifested in any Kaeli whatsoever, in any vessel at all, to be projected through a particular Kaeli. What's the link? What links up from complete, undefined state of existence, for God to project into a particular Kaeli? What connects the Kaeli, these vessels, to God Himself? That's the name Havaya. So the name Havaya is a radiance of God that flows into the Kaeli, and thereby affecting what it needs to affect. Now, before we continue, just one more point. Now, these esospheres, these ten attributes, exist, are here on many levels and in many worlds. Whenever Hashem manifests Himself to the world, it's always through Canaan. But there are various worlds. The ultimate purpose that God had in creation with our physical world, with our physical universe. Why the physical universe? Because the physical universe is the place where God gets pleasure from. Why? Because in the physical universe, Hashem is not revealed. Hashem is completely concealed. To the point that that one can even question if God exists. And in this physical universe, when people come around and do mitzvahs, and learn Torah, submit themselves, and gain knowledge of God by their own toil, and their own efforts, and they seek to discover God, and subjugate and surrender themselves to the will of God, that gives God pleasure. So this is the ultimate purpose, the ultimate goal of creation was our physical universe. However, to bring about this physical universe, what God created a Seder, what we call a Seder Ishtalsa, is an order of evolution, an order of evolving worlds, where there is literally infinite levels of worlds of that are serve as intermediates to be able to bring about this world which is utter concealment of God. However, in general, these worlds are divided in what? Into four categories. We speak about a world, the lowest being our physical world called Olam Asiya, our physical universe, the world of action. Then we have Olam HaYetzirah, the world of formation, the world of Bria, the world of creation. And all the way up, we have what? We have the world of Atzilus. Now, what is the difference of these worlds? The higher we go, the more God is revealed. The less we notice the creations or the beingness of the world. The more it's all about God. The lower we go, the more the creation becomes noticed. Till we reach our physical world, as we said before, that we can hardly even recognize and sense naturally, from without toil, without effort, without digging deep, without exploration, we don't sense, we don't feel God at all. So we have it. Now, in all these worlds, God manifests, creates a world through these 10 building blocks. Right? In the world, so we project through the esospheres, and these esospheres exist in all worlds, meaning, however, As Hashem projects through the spheres, the 10 attributes of Atzilus, it brings about an existence, an awareness of God, a spiritual awareness of Atzilus. What type of awareness is the spiritual awareness of Atzilus? The spiritual awareness of Atzilus is that God is so utterly revealed, so conspicuous in Atzilus, that in the world of Atzilus there cannot be anything else but God. He's demonstrated and revealed in that in such a powerful, forceful way in Atzilus that there can't be anything else but him.
So nobody can get close to
him. In that state of Atzilus, that's right. Now that Atzilus, the only way to exist over there is to be submerged in him. And then you don't exist, you're just an extension of him. Atzilus is a world what?
How did the
Kaden
exist in
Atzilus? Okay. However, when we go through the attributes of Bria, as Hashem projects through the attributes of Bria, in the attributes of Bria, what do we have? That allows for creations, it allows for an experience of spiritual awareness, where God's existence is already begins to be concealed, and therefore you have some sense of in the other existence, other beings. And therefore the world of Bria is full of souls. Souls. What are souls? Souls are permeated with a very powerful feeling of God. But nevertheless, there is already enough of a divine concealment that they can begin to experience themselves too, as entities, as beings. Beings that come into existence from God, being projected, being brought into, they sense that their life force is Hashem in a very powerful manner. But nevertheless, they still have some identity of self. And then as we go lower down, the more the creation, as Hashem projects through the attributes of what? Of the world of Yetzirah. Over here, that calls for creations that are already far more aware of self. And the God and Hashem's light is concealed to a greater degree. Then we get down to the world of Asiya. And the world of Asiya is total darkness. And that allows for us, for our types of being, where we exist in a physical state, feeling ourselves totally apart, separate from any type of creator. Now, in all these worlds, the esospheres, the oyer, the light, is always God himself, because God is the only creator. It's not like God gives off a power, and then that power creates. That means many gods. The Ohr, the light itself, is Hashem Himself. It's the simple Ohr Ein Sof, infinite light of God, projecting through all these vessels. However, in the lower, the latter three worlds, which is the world of Ashiya, the world of Yetzira, and the world of Bria, the Kalim, they're not God Himself. The vessels are already entities, beings, that God creates, that through, when He shines His light through them, through these vessels, certain creations come into existence. His energy is infused into the creations of that particular world, of that particular arena, of that particular realm of existence. They exist, they receive their substance through the energy flowing through these vessels. These vessels are not God Himself.
So what is
they're containers. They're sort of like creations.
So what the angels are sitting, and then when the rabbanim, I mean the 17 rabbi or what those things are sitting.
What? Oh, where are the angels? Generally, we speak about the angels in the world of Yetzirah. That's the world of angels. There are angels in the world of Bria also, in a higher world. But those are a superior angels. But they exist, and there are really there's angels in all worlds, even in our world. In Olam Atziyah, there's a spiritual part to it, spiritual dimension to it, which is inhabited by angels. Lower angels, higher angels, and the highest tzaddik and souls and tzaddikim are in the world of Bria, generally. And the souls of the greatest, we're going to see it even in the world of Atzilus. But over there, they're totally a part of Hashem, as we're going to see. Okay? So in all these subsequent levels of Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiya, they're already the Kalim Awat, vessels through which God projects, but it's not Him. It's only His light coming through them. It's sort of like what? Like a human being. It's like a person hears an intellectual concept, an idea. He hears it from someone. Then he goes and this concept gets assimilated into the person's mind and into the person's understanding. And then they go and they take that idea and they convey it further. So who's... What? When that person takes the idea, okay? That person is what? To me, the person who heard the idea, that's not the extension of the original teacher or projector of that idea. They're someone else. They're an entity on their own. Now they're giving over. They're saying their own words. Okay, so in Bria is not, the Kalim are not God. Are not God Himself. He's projecting through them, but they're not Him. However, when we come to the world of Atzilus, and Atzilus being that Atzilus is that first stage of world, where what? Where God is still, where He's not concealed, where He's open, fully revealed, and completely conspicuous and open, being that that's the case, so in Atzilus there's no room for any other existence. So therefore, the Kalim of Atzilus themselves are divine, are godly. Meaning, in Atzilus, there's not something that there is an intelligent being. If there is intelligence in Atzilus, it's God being intelligent. The intelligence is completely attributed to Him. It's God being kind. There isn't a kindness of Atzilus. The kindness is Him. It's Him Himself. It's Him being kind. Because in Atzilus it's a world of such bittul. Even though, it's an amazing thing, even though kindness in essence, or intelligence, or any description, is just as far as God, from God as a rock, as we said earlier, as a physical stone. In essence, there isn't any, there isn't any difference between a rock and an attribute of Atzilus. In terms of their what? In terms of their relationship to the undefined light of God. Nevertheless, in Atzilus, we can almost say that God becomes wisdom. He contracts Himself to be intelligence. He is the intelligence, not he what's it called again? He creates an intelligence. It's not that He created an intelligence. He merged, He is the intelligence. He is the kindness. What do we mean he is the kindness? He is the kindness only in a level where he's projecting an Atzilus. But in that level, he is the kindness itself. As opposed to once you start coming in the other worlds, the Kalim are already entities on their own. Not God. The Oyer, the life projecting, is Hashem all alone. Is that understood? Yeah. Can you say? Yeah.
Okay. When the Rabbi doesn't see somebody is like bringing a question of somebody who would have a surgery, and the Rabbi didn't see the person, the Rabbi didn't see the medical report, the Rabbi is not a doctor, and he says no. So he's full of God, right?
Yeah.
God is transferring his knowledge to the Rabbi, right? So where did that, is it Atzila?
Yeah, a Rebbe is on the level of Atzilus, generally. A Rebbe is in that level of total surrender to God to the point that he is, as we're going to learn, and that's the concept of the Maamar further, how Hashem merges with the Kalim. Now, Hashem merges with the Kalim. In Atzilus, the Kalim are essentially, in their essential form, in other words, as they came into being, they're totally nullified. It's almost as if we can say that what? If God can contract himself to be a stone, not to create a stone, to be a stone. And the truth is, God is a stone. God is everything. It's only that what? God is really the reality of everything. See, really, in truth, let's understand one thing. In truth, there really isn't a difference between Achilles, Bria, Tirashia from God's perspective. Because from God's perspective, He is what? He is the very existence of everything. It's only, so what then is the difference of Atzilus, Bri, Yetzir, and Asiya? Why do we say that in Atzilus, the Kalim are Him, and further down, the Kalim are not God? It's because in Atzilus, being that the world of Atzilus is permeated with full revelation of God, so therefore this form that God is projecting Himself to be senses itself as being nothing other than a projection of God. Therefore, it's God being intelligent, because it's in tune with this. Let me ask you something. Where did anything else come into existence but Hashem? All these Kalim, their entire source of existence, of beingness, is only from God. If it's only from God, which means that really it's only Him. Because God didn't create a world from other stuff. He didn't have a little, went searching and found somewhere some materials in order to create the world. Everything is really nothing more than just Him. It's only that what? Why can't I go down to a stone and say to say to the stone that the stone is God, even though the stone really is? Because the stone doesn't perceive itself as being anything else but a perception. The stone sees itself as being a something. We're looking at the stone as being a stone, not as a divine manifestation as being that. When Mashiach comes, it says that what? The whole world is going to be in the stage of what? Of Atzilus. It's going to be just God wherever we look, because really, in essence, it is from God's perspective even now. You know what I'm saying? So that's what we say in Atzilus. Atzilus is a world that was created Mashiachic. It was created. It was brought into existence. What do we mean brought into existence? As we said before, God, before He created the world, has no definition. The fact that God is beginning to define Himself is really what creation is all about. He is defining, He is contracting, He is taking His infinite power and forming Himself in billions of different forms of existence, which is really only Him. It's only. That on the levels of prior to concealment, then the attributes, or these all these shapes and forms, see themselves as nothing other than what? Than a projection as God. So they have absolutely no self-awareness at all. They're just Hashem being wise, Hashem being strong, Hashem being kind. It's Him, but nothing else. However, once the concealment starts, what happens? The creations start identifying with what? These beings start sensing themselves as a creation rather than as just a projection of Him. And therefore, we refer to them as not being God, but as being a creation of God. Yes.
Absolute.
Yeah.
God is just being these different attributes as God.
Yeah.
And it seems to me that the whole set of discussion starts below that.
No. Tzimtzum begins before, but a different type of tzimtzum. It's not a tzimtzum of concealment, it's a tzimtzum of contraction. In other words, the fact that he's contracting himself to be a particular form, as opposed to his formless essence. But when I say that the tzimtzum begins in Bria, what we mean is that between Atzilus to Bria, there is already a screen, a filter, that blocks that the form that's going to come out is not going to sense itself as just being a divine manifestation, but something that God created. It gets a certain sense of self, of yeshus, a sense of self. And that yeshus feeling is the only thing that's blocking of it. It's its own feeling. Here's the thing. What really keeps every existence in prison of being something other than God is our own perception of self, our own self-awareness. It's the self-awareness that's making you not be Him. Remove that self-awareness, and what is it? It is what it truly is. It's Hashem contracting into to be a bumblebee. It's Him being the tulip. It's Him being everything. That's what it is. But, yes?
So it's two separate tzimtzumim.
Different types of tzimtzumim, yeah. That's what we say there is a...
So you're getting
on
the
road
in order to have the concealment.
That is the progress of concealment. Until we reach our world where there's no sense of any divine power whatsoever. And the things can become totally egotistical and self-centered. And over here, we can surrender to Hashem and do His will. But if we would be living in a frequency of Atzilus, When I started learning Chassidus, it was very hard for me to grasp the fact that Atzilus is not elsewhere. It's right here now too. It's a state of mind. Okay? If we are to live in that Atzilus bigger state of mind, then what? Then we can be functioning as human beings, physical human beings on earth, and be nothing more than just a projection of God. And that's what we mean over here, that God and His Kalim are one. Because the Kalim themselves are God, and that's why we can call them godly names. See, the vessels of Bria, the vessels of Bria, we can't call godly names. The reason we can't call them by godly names is because they're tools and instruments through which God creates, but they're not, because they have some entity, identity of their own. So they're tools through which God is creating, but they're not Him. Why do I mean they're not Him? They're not Him because in their perception they're not Him. And that's why we, who are looking from the other side of the curtain, see them as things, as a someone, not as Hashem Himself. And therefore, to refer to them as God would be idol worship. It would be idol worship. You're serving a something other than Hashem. But in Atzilus, being that this is has no self awareness at all. So what is it really? Only an expression of Hashem. Which it really is. Yes. Only two? Yeah.
Today, first question, Atzilus is so high that it's closer to the other sphere than to God.
Right? Yes.
The second question, the human being after death and shape when you're living in the Atzilus, if you be on the level of spheres, every human
doing
level of spirit,
it
will be like
God in it? Yeah, I think so. I think it says ultimately that's what it will be. And the level of spirit.
That's why I was playing, that everything is only projection of
what the Mashiach is going to be in the same, and even higher.
Higher than spirit?
Even higher, yeah.
But how can it be this time?
That's what Torah is, to merge a creation with God to the point that the creation will exist as an expression of God, and we in total harmony and total unity. I don't know what that is. Okay, we'll know what that is when Mashiach comes. But yes.
So in the world of prayer,
Yeah.
So we can't call that Hashem,
it
would be
through
division,
but
of course we can call it
Hashem.
We can call it
Kale. Right. So if we took that Hashem
India and recognize it as all Hashem and
didn't see
division anymore, then
would
we elevate the level
of Hashem? That's what we're going to learn in the Maamar. That's what the name Tzvakish is all about, this band. The name Tzvakish is what? Is bringing the unity that there is of God with the Kalim of Atzilus down to Bria. That's the whole point of the mind. And that's true. The progression of taking these vessels, removing, taking away that concealment, that even the vessels on which are lower vessels, which by their very character and nature should be in a state of what? Of self-awareness, of some state of division, nevertheless removing that barrier of Atzilus and Bria to allow God to unite with the vessels of Bria in a way where he becomes one. That's where we're heading. And ultimately, the progress of Torah and Mitzvah is to make this world be on that level of Atzilus through this process. But it works through the process of Tzvachos. So let's read. However, Shem Avaya, the name Avaya, you know, let's go back two lines to the Vihine Shmaisa. Vihine, and behold, Shmaisa, Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hem HaKelim, Deshashiris Atzilus. Names of God are the vessels of the ten attributes of Atzilus. Shemeslavish bem oirin tzayt baruch hu, that the Infinite One encloses Himself in them, umesyachadimom, and He unites with them. The tachlis ayichud, He unites with them. What do we mean He unites with them? He unites with them to the point that he's considered being them, right? Al derech the iyu vigarmiu chav, similar to what we say that He, God, and his garments are one. Hainu shem keil ubchinas klei achesed. The name keil is in the keili of chesed. The Shem Elikim b'pchinas Kli Agvura, and Shem Elikim is in the Keli of Gvura. The Shem Adn is b'pchinas Malchus, and the Shem Adn is in the level of Malchus. Amnam, however, Shem Avayu hu apnimiyis shall call Hashem is Shehem HaKelim. Shem Avayu, what's the name Yudke Vavke? That's the Oyer, that's the Pnimiyis. Ki hu b'pchinas Oyerois, because that's the light. Meaning, what do we mean by light? By meaning light, we're referring to something that is not defined yet. Hamislapshim b'teicha kelim, that encloses itself in the kelim, the Ainu, bibchinas kel shuhu Hashem shebekli achesed, which is in the name of kel, which is the name of kli achesed. Hine bibchinas ha'oyer animshach me'ein tzayf baruch hu l'slabish boy, that light that is drawn from the ein tzayf to enclose itself in it, hu bchinas shem avay. That's the shem avay. So the pnimius of, put it this way. We can say something like this. The pnimius of the name Kael is what? Havayah. The pnimius means the inner. The pnimius of the name Elohim is Havayah. The pnimius of every name is Havayah. Because the pnimius of it is its electricity. Its inner power. Its inner power is Hashem Himself. Yeah, okay, it is Mamali, yeah, you're right. So this Havayah is Mamali. It's that light that fills the vessels, and therefore Havayah is equal in all of them. V'chein gam b'pchinas Shem Elokim, and film too, also in the name of Elokim, shebeklei agvura, that is in the vessel of agvura, mislabish b'teich Hashem Havayah, Shem Havayah encloses itself in it, shehu b'pchinas ha'or me'ein tzoyf, which is the light from the ein tzoyf, ha'mislabish b'teich ha'kelim, that it clothes itself in the vessels, and is still yellow, as we said above. Now, derech zeh b'chol ha'shemois, but here's a very important thing, I just want to emphasize. The Kalim, even without the light, are a lakus, are godly, as we said before. But then it would mean, God as He is a rock, I'm using a rock as a mush. A God as He is, because just to emphasize the distance, I'm using the rock as a mush, just to emphasize the distance of these things from Hashem's essence. So we can say, Hashem as He is a stone, is doing so and so. Everything that Hashem is doing, He's doing from His undefined state. Not Him as He is a dish. That's why we're constantly referring to the oil flowing through the Kalim. Not the Kalim itself, notwithstanding the fact that the Kalim themselves are godly because they have no sense of self. Nevertheless, their God, as God comes in a state of fear, as Hashem defines Himself in a definition. And everything coming from God is... Everything, all divine all flow of divinity and godliness and divine energy into the world is Hashem Himself doing, not these various. This in a sense would already be almost like Avodah Zarah. Even though we're speaking about God, but we would be speaking about the vessels themselves as they are vessels, not as they're as being conduits for the plain simple light of Hashem. So let's put it this way: when a fly is buzzing around, flying around the room, it's even though it's a tiny little bit of chayus coming through a particular vessel that has gone through the vessels of all worlds to bring about this movement, to bring about this thing, nevertheless, it's Hashem on high, God Himself, as He is infinitely beyond all, causing and affecting that effect. But it's only being that it's through these kelim that it's having this particular effect and not an infinite, powerful, atomic, or undefined effect. It's having, because it's coming through the vessel. But it's the oil coming through the kelim. I have to emphasize that both. Now, and so is true with all the names that are not erased. They are the kelim, and Avaya is the oil. The shame Avaya, b'chinas oir, some swapshim there. And the shame Avaya is the oil that is enclosed in there. And therefore, shame Avaya mistaris from kol hashemes. The name Avaya combines itself with all names. As it says, the day that Avaya Elokim created heaven and earth. Seven, it says, Havaya Tzvokas. Again, you have Avaya merging with another name. That's what draws down the Ein Sof to enclose itself in the names of Elokim and Tzvokas Shehem HaKelim, which are the Kelim. This is the mimutza, this is the middleman, the intermediary between the Eiris and the Kelim. Therefore, if you don't have Shem Avaya, you can't have any of the other names. Because those other names are only transmitters of the pure, simple light of Hashem, that Shem Avaya. So they enable that Elohim should project in a Elohim fashion, that the disciplining force from Hashem should issue forth, or the kind force of God should issue forth. It's all enabled by Hashem extending in general to the world. Hashem first has to extend, has to project outward, with a light where he is turning towards the creation. Once he turns towards the creation, what particular activity is he going to do? Then it's going to fall through each particular vessel. Shehu ha-memutza, this is the memutza bein ha'ir zekelem, alakach, hu ha-machaber, and that's why he's the connector, like the link, so ha'ir is the ha'ir im ha-kelem with the kelem.
No,
kelem, shakai, they are the kelem. They are already the havai is the connector, the link that's connecting the ha'ir to the kelem. Because kelem is in chesed, and that's the various different spheres, that's right. And let's see Tzvakos, he didn't explain it. The seven, well, Tzvakos we're going to get to now. He mentioned Tzvakos quickly just for one point. And no matter which name of Hashem we're using, we first have to get we have to get the oil, the light, the infusing, right? And to get the light, that's Shem Avaya. Now, once you have that light, as it's coming through the particular shapes, the particular forms, it's coming through the, you have the various names, Elohim. He next is, now behold it says, yes. Shem Avaya is the mumutza between Hashem Himself, that's beyond, that's nameless, that is nameless. To act, because what is Avaya? Avaya is already a certain symptom, yud, a symptom, bav. Here he's referring Oiris to refer to Oiring Tzayif beyond even being called Havai. It's the Oir before it comes into the Kelim. Because we have a level of Oir, like Hesha, like the crown, which is Oir higher than Kelim at all. Then that Oir has to come down to be an Oir in a Kelim. So Havai is the Oir in the Kelim.
Can I say that
Oir
is nameless?
Nameless, even Havai. The Oir in the Kelim.
So it's already
a name. That's right. That's already a name. That's right. He makes it Zeshmi la Oilam the Zezich. A Piddish Bitkune Zoyar. And it says, explains in Tikune Zoyar that last week, 2 weeks ago in the parasha, God says, Zeshmi la Oilam, this is my name This is my eternal name. This is the way I want to be remembered for generation after generation. And the Kurnei Zohar says, Shmi im Yudke Shesa Loi Sese. That Shmi, my name, if you combine the word Shmi, my name, with the Yudke, together with Yudke, which is 15. If you take Shmi with 15, you get 365. Okay, because Shmi itself is 350. Shmi is 350. And then you add 15, you get 365. Zichri, the word Zichri, im Vavke, with 11 from Vavke, you have Ramach Mitzvah Saseh. You have 248 positive mitzvahs. Saying that what? What is the Zohar indicating? That the mitzvahs, whether the positive mitzvahs, or the prohibitive, the active mitzvahs, or the prohibitive mitzvahs, where do they come from? Where do they originate? What are they connecting the person to? The name Yudke Vavke. The name Yudke Vavke. So Yudke Vavke really was beyond our access. Because Yudke Vavke is the Oyer of Atzilus, way up there. How does Hashem extend, right? How does Hashem extend the Yudke Vavke, God's light, to us? Through the mitzvahs. So Shmi is Hashem's name, Zichri, the way I'm being remembered. But my name and my remembrance, which name? The name meaning as you are going to know me, my name, as you are going to remember me, it's extending Havaya to us. How does Havaya get extended to us, to the creations? Through the mitzvahs. The mitzvahs is what links the Jew up to Havaya. That's why. Yudke is Yudke and Vavke, that's God Himself. Now, to connect Hashem Himself down here, we have the mitzvahs. So the mitzvahs are like Shmi and Zichri, the name of God. What is a name? A name is a way that you relate to someone. You call someone by his name. He turns to you through his name. So if we want to call God by his name, we have to use a name to call him. We want to call God. We want to attach ourselves to him. So we have to call him. So we refer to him, we say his name. So the name means a link from us to him. What are we referring to? To his essential name, which is Havaya. So that's why the mitzvahs are the bonding of us to Shem Havaya. That's why Shmi with Yudke is the 300, is equals 365. Zichri with Vavke equals 248. Implying what? Implying the idea that what? That mitzvahs come from Shem Havaya, from the Yudke Vavke. Mitzvahs come from Shem Havaya. What is the Alter Rebbe leading to? The Alter Rebbe wants to explain as follows. Hashem gave us the Torah. What was the point of Torah and Mitzvahs? The point of Torah and Mitzvahs was to bring godliness through the channel of worlds that conceal and hide Hashem, as we spoke earlier. From Atzilus. Atzilus is already a world of tikkun. Atzilus is a rectified world because Atzilus is in touch with the truth. Atzilus is not living in an illusion of what? Of self-existence, or as existence apart from God. Atzilus is connected to the truth of Hashem, that what? That Hashem is the only reality. And that they, if they exist, they're an expression of God. However, that truth needs to be made where, as we said, the point of creation is, that down here below, human beings down here below, should awaken to that realization that there's nothing other than Him. And that we are really also only expressions of Him. Now, in order for that to happen, how do we change the way the world was created? That what? That from the world of Bria Yetzirah, especially the world of Asiya, should rise to an awareness of Atzilus. For that, God gave us what? Torah and Mitzvahs. However, what is the accomplishment of Torah and Mitzvahs? The accomplishment of Torah and Mitzvahs is that it makes that even in our physical world down here below, which is so far and so distant from the experience of Atzilus, we should nevertheless rise to that awareness, to that state of existence. So what does that mean? Torah and Mitzvahs has to serve as a bridge, as a connection from Atzilus to us. In simple words, Torah and Mitzvahs has to bring Atzilus down to our world. That same divine awareness that there is in Atzilus has to become the awareness down here of Asiya. What is the world? What is the world of Asiya, of Atzilus permeated? It's permeated with God. Not only is it permeated with godly attributes, it's permeated with what? With the divine essence of Havaya. So when we say that, what? That we want to bring Atzilus down here below, what does that mean? That means that in an open way, we should experience Havaya down here in our, in our physical life. How is that experience? For that we have mitzvahs. So mitzvahs are now bringing that state of total unity and oneness with Hashem, of Atzilus, to our experience down here below. Now, however, that's why Torah mitzvahs are what? Every mitzvah is a Atzilus experience. A mitzvah is a little piece of Atzilus. That's what the Rebbe say. The 248 positive commandments, the 365 negative commandments, are Atzilus stuff. That's what they are. They're very. The act of a mitzvah is a kus of Atzilus. So you're thinking you're holding an esrei. You're not holding an esrei in your hand. You're holding godliness of Atzilus. Of course, godliness of Atzilus is an esrei, as it is coming down into our world in the form of an esrei. A mitzvah, every mitzvah is Atzilus. The more mitzvahs, Jews do mitzvahs in this world, whether it's refraining from doing that which God doesn't want, or doing that which Hashem does want, we're infusing, we're bringing down infusion of Atzilus into our world. So therefore, and that's the way our physical world becomes attached and one with God. Now, had there not been a Atzilus world where God merges with things that are defined, if there was not, sometimes we wonder, why do we need that middle state of Atzilus? Why could God want the creation, right? Why couldn't He just create directly from the infinite light, create a world that is a creation world? What's this Atzilus intermedium over here? Well, you have already God in a finite form, in a certain sense. Why is it needed? That anyway doesn't serve the purpose. What serves the purpose is creations that are separate from Hashem, they should surrender to Hashem. Because here's the point. If there would not be that middle Atzilus figure world, then how can we as defined creatures link up with God who is beyond any definition, is infinite, and serve as channels of Him? So there has to be a world that despite the fact that it is a worldly world, with limitations and parameters, nevertheless, it is a complete oneness with Hashem, where it is nothing else than God. Once there is that state of existence in Atzilus, that can be brought down into our world. So that's what that is going to explain. That's where Moshe Rabbeinu and Torah come in. Moshe Rabbeinu brought Hashem's manifestation that the Oyer should unite with Atzilus and project outward in creating these mitzvahs, in bringing about these mitzvahs. As He brings about these mitzvahs, and when we do these mitzvahs, we're taking an Atzilus experience into our world. That was the form of Moshe. But Moshe Rabbeinu, and the point of the Maamar is, Moshe Rabbeinu only brought God's light down in as much as the world of Atzilus. Meaning, Moshe established these mitzvahs. Meaning He brought God down to the point where Hashem will, the Oyring Seif, who is beyond having any particular wills and desires, that God should want, should fill the emotion. Every mitzvah comes from Hashem's likes or dislikes. Right? The things that God likes are the positive mitzvahs. His dislikes are what? Are the prohibitive mitzvahs. Now, the likes and the dislikes, we speak of them as God's emotions. This is what God is appealing to Him. This is that which is not appealing to Him. Now, God is beyond emotions. God is beyond any. So for Hashem to relate to us things that He likes or things that He doesn't like, in right? For that you need Hashem to come down into Kelim of Atzilus. Because if Hashem remains in His beyond, in His world beyond, then we don't have the mitzvahs. The mitzvahs were created by linking God to the world of Atzilus. So let's read inside. And we'll understand it more as we learn. Yes.
Yes.
So we're down here.
Yeah.
We'll get to that. Behind, though, let's read inside. Shaklawis atzayda that the tayram, the mach mitzvah sase, the 248 mitzvahs. The shasal loisa say, and the 365 prohibitions. And mushrashim b'shem avaya, they're rooted in the name avaya. Shubchin azad atzilus. They originate in the level called Zav Atzilus. Zav Atzilus are the divine attributes of Atzilus, beginning with the seven emotions, right? The Machmet Zav Say, the 248 positive commandments, Nimshachim Mitchinis HaChasadim Shebizav, come from, flow, stem from the kind attributes of Zeir Ampin. The Shesal Loisa Say, in the 365 negative commandments, Mitchinis HaGavuris Shebizav, stem from the Gavuris, from the restraining powers of Zav. Ubehem, and then the chlalim kol prate abinim the isa v'hetzer kasher apostle chaya v'zaka. And then in the 248 positive mitzvahs and the 365 prohibitions, they include within themselves all the details, because this myriad and myriad of details of Torah, right? Of exactly the detail of what is kosher, what God likes, what He dislikes, why this is kosher, and therefore we can include those things in our lives, and that which Hashem tells us that in a world that is expressing Him, this should not be. God cannot express Himself in this act. So take it out of your life. See, as long as the person, let's think about how are we linking up with God through doing mitzvahs. As long as what? As I am a somebody, that what? A creation that isn't Hashem, but I'm a me. So then I have my likes and my dislikes. But if I'm what? If I'm an extension of Him, so what He likes, then there can only be what He likes, and there cannot be what He dislikes. So when a Yid is doing a mitzvah, he is aligning himself with God, allowing himself to be what? A channel for Hashem to be in him, for Hashem to express himself in him. When a Jew is doing something that God dislikes, God forbid, so what is he doing? He's pushing away that state of connection, of Hashem being in him. So therefore he's saying, all the midas, all the mitzvahs, are stemming from details of these emotions. Chesed is the source of all the positive mitzvahs, and Gevurah is the source of all of the rejected mitzvahs, where Hashem is pushing away. Shehetev HaKashon Nimshech Mepchinas HaChesed Ezah Ba'oivet Aloysa Sein Mam Shecholav Mepchinas HaGevurah. Someone who is transgressive, he's bringing upon himself Gevurah, meaning he's bringing upon himself something that God rejects, and therefore Liyos Nenash. That's why he brings upon himself a punishment. Because the punishment is God saying, distancing it, pushing it away. So if a person brings upon himself something that God pushes away, so if a person gets pushed away from God, that's the punishment. That's where death and everything negative happens, comes from. It comes from a push. It comes from being distant. Being that these are things that God has decided to hate, so things that God decides to like, so now when you do these things, you're drawn closer to Him, being closer. The Oyring Saif Baruch Hu, and the Infinite One blessed is He, whom the Lubish the Kalim the Zah, enclosed Himself in these vessels of Zah, Abdi'i Uvedar Miochat, till God and His vessels are one, to the Liel. The Zah Uvchen Hashem Avaya, and this is Shem Avaya, as we said earlier, the Oyr that's in the Kalim is Shem Avaya. Ubezeh Yuvan, and that's why we say that all the mitzvahs come from Shem Avaya. Because what is Shem Avaya? Shem Avaya is the oil, the light that's in the vessels, in the divine emotions. And now we're saying, where does the mitzvahs come from? It's from God's emotions, what God likes and what He dislikes. It's God likes. If it's God likes or it dislikes, it meaning it's the Shem Avaya. It's the Shem Avaya project as He is in these emotions, Shem Avaya. And that's why all the mitzvahs come from. So now we'll understand why all of Torah, the word tzvakas is not mentioned. Only the name Avaya. Chana says Hashem tzvakas. Why? That merited that the Torah should be given through him. He draw down, the infinite light in the vessels of Zah. Umsham nimshachat Torah. And from there Torah comes. Kenistali, as we said before. Therefore, let's say things like this. Being that mitzvahs come from Atzilus, so where does God have to unite? With what vessels does God have to unite in order to create the Torah, to bring about the Torah? With the vessels of Atzilus. Because the mitzvahs are the emotions of God as Hashem is projecting them in the world of Atzilus. So, but as we said before, it's not just an emotion. It's God being vested in that emotion. It's God saying, this is what I'm like. Again, we have to link everything up with the oyer, with oyer insight. It's not just likes and dislikes, rejections, and it's God liking or God disliking. So we have to draw down the oyer insight to unite in with these emotions, that it should be considered as if God says, I like this or I don't like it. It's like the person being in that emotion. Moshe Rabbeinu accomplished this. And that created, or I can't even say the word created, that brought about, or revealed, rather, revealed the mitzvahs. That revealed the mitzvahs. When we do the mitzvahs, we're drawing down on ourselves that state of, that chesed of Atzilus into our existence, into our being. Or that state of Gevurah into our lives. We're aligning ourselves with the with that form as Hashem has manifested Himself in the world of Atzilus. However, it did not have to go, at one point, it did not have to go further into the world of Bria. Why? Because Torah spends from Atzilus, it doesn't spend from Bria. So where does God have to unite? In which level? He has to unite with the attributes of Atzilus. That's why in Torah, what do we find? Which names of God are we referring to? We're referring to the names of Elohim, Kael. Because what is the Torah? It's Hashem flowing into all those names. Kael, Elohim, and the mitzvahs come from there. For example, all the negative mitzvahs come from the name, not negative, all the prohibitive mitzvahs come from where? From the name Elohim. And all the positive mitzvahs come from the name Kael, or Chesed, or something like that. And but really, what's the juice behind them? What's the oiring soif that's flowing behind them? Ani Hashem Elokeichem. I am God, your God. Do this mitzvah, now I am extending myself, who I am, to you. And that, through that, you're connecting to Hashem. However, the Rebbe is explaining over here as follows. However, as time progressed, the souls of future generations were lower souls. And therefore, they could not relate to the Torah as the Torah is in the world of Atzilus. When we do a mitzvah, of course we are connecting to somehow to that energy of Atzilus. But do we in any way experience it? Do we in any way relate to that light, to that godliness that's there? We don't. Because it's way, way, way above us. In the previous generations, especially in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, souls were extremely lofty souls. So if Hashem wants to connect these souls to God's light, to the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, and through that to project it into the creation, all you needed was the divine manifestation in Atzilus. And when you have the divine manifestation in Atzilus, the souls can link up and directly receive it from that level of Atzilus, and thereby become united with Havayah. Well, the latter souls, as time progresses, the souls become of lower content. So we get the neshamas of what? The later souls are called neshamas of Bria. Neshamas, the souls of the world of creation, or the souls of the world of Yetzirah, or the world of the world of Asiyah. Our souls today are from the lowest souls generally, called souls of the world of Asiyah. Being that we're talking about souls of the world of Asiyah, even though Jews were studying Torah, and were learning and doing the mitzvahs, they did not connect and become one with the mitzvahs they did. They did not unite and become. Yes, the mitzvahs itself is godly. The mitzvah is holy, but it wasn't uniting with them because they were not a vessel to that light. They didn't have that. They couldn't tune in to that. So the Torah remained somewhere up there in the clouds. And that's why after Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, what did the Jews start? The Jews started going astray. Why? Because they didn't connect to it anymore. Spiritually, the mitzvahs and the rishonim were not merging. Why? Because they were lower souls. So what did we need? We needed a new power. We had to have certain souls to come into the world, which were the souls of the prophets, which were going to take the Ein Sof light and merge it with the Kelim of Bria. and merges with the kelim of what? A new matan Torah. It's not a new matan Torah, but it's a progression of matan Torah. It's bringing Torah more down to earth. It's bringing God's light. For that, oh, the problem is, the essential problem is like this. How can you take Torah and bring it into the world of Briah? The problem is, in Achilles, the vessels themselves are God. So when you have an emotion, let's say in Achilles, that says, I like the chesed, who says, I like charity. Give charity. This fits my character. The character of God. God is charitable. You too should be charitable. So when Achilles is speaking to you, and it says, be kind because I'm kind, it's God's kindness that it is. But if we have to speak already through a vessel of Bria, the vessel of Bria is not God. The vessel of Bria is what? A creation, very lofty, very spiritual, but it's an entity that has some awareness of self. So therefore, it's not Hashem's kindness, it's a great kindness. And if we would be doing mitzvahs, our inspiration and our connection to the would be through Bria, we would not be connecting to God. We would be connecting to something that is receiving from God, but not God himself. So what needed to happen is, the Oyer had to merge with Kalim that are essentially made in a way that they're not him. Therefore, a complete revolution in the entire scope of Seder Ishtalshus had to take place. The vessels of Bria, the vessels of Yetzirah, have to be elevated to a point where they're nothing other than a projection of God. Where God is lowering himself down to become utterly one with the vessel that originally stood in a state of separation. And that's what the word Tzavakos means. Why Tzavakos? Because Tzavakos, let me just finish the point. Tzavakos means hosts. It refers to a pluralism, many, diversity, many. In Achilles, there's no hosts. Even though in Achilles there's Esher Spheres, there's 10, but those 10 are not 10. They're all one, because they're completely united with their divine source. So there's no Tzavakos there. You don't even speak of 10, the 10 that merge. There is one. There is Hashem, Hashem's intelligence, Hashem's kindness. It's like one person. It's a singular entity. And it's even more than a person, because a person with his mind and his kindness and his emotions are a composite of many things. But by Hashem it's not a composite, he's totally and absolutely united with it. So in Achilles, you don't hear tzavakas, you don't hear hosts, many. What are the hosts? The hosts are the Kalim of Bria. And not just the Kalim of Bria. In Bria you already have billions of creatures. Angels, legions of souls, legions of angels, legions of many multitudes. Why the multitudes? Because since there is already a concealment enough to allow that the creation should what? Should become a somebody. And then I'm me and you're you and we're all separate entities. And that's what is Tzavakos. Yes, it's true, these are great armies. These are legions and beings that are in total surrender to Hashem. They serve God, they love God, but nevertheless there's someone other than Him. What has to happen now is that God becomes one with the Tzavakos. That these beings, all these multitudes in the world of Bria, are now nothing other than a projection of Hashem. And what's really happening is that the souls of Bria are merging with Hashem, not just the Kalim of Bria, but there's, in the entire scope of the world of Bria, Hashem is merging with the Tzavakos. So it's no more God's armies, it's the Lord of hosts. He is the host. It's a tribute. The hosts themselves are Him. Extensions of Him. And that is a complete metamorphosis. That's a transformation. That's a revolution beyond revolutions. To break through the parasa, the screen, the filter, that says that what? That Tulatzilis being that they're in absolute state of bittul, God can merge with them. But Bria is essentially not totally nullified. Therefore, God cannot merge with them. They can't be one with Him. Now we're breaking open that they could. So what does that mean? Does that mean God will merge with something that is not totally surrendered to Him? Or does that mean that that thing that was not totally surrendered now will surrender completely? I think it's more the second way. It's that they were elevated to a higher state of consciousness and awareness to the point that even though their essential beingness is of more coarse stuff, they're made out of stuff that generally shouldn't be more in touch with its own beingness. For example, let me just use a mushroom here. It says that by the splitting of the Yam Suf, a maid prophesies. Ra'asa shifcha layam, what the great prophets saw. What did that mean? That through the maid's mouth, when the maid was talking, she was speaking godly words. It wasn't her speaking. She wasn't saying her own. When the maid was having a conversation as they were walking through the bit, it wasn't that she was speaking words of divinity of godliness. Now how is that possible? What happened was, and usually we have this, what's the difference between a prophet and a regular person? A prophet is so refined, has reached the epitome of self-refinement, of self-development, to the point that he is very little of a creation, of a beingness of self. And therefore, when the prophecy hits him, he melts completely into God. But that's a prophet. You have to have someone who has worked upon himself, someone who has refrained from indulging his ego and turning himself into a coarse eye. He minimizes his eye till he becomes a tiny little speck of an eye. He's not a capital I, not a big capital I, that's not even that. He becomes so mitigated of I, and now at that point, he can totally dissolve in Hashem. A maid, which has very little spiritual awareness, is considered the lowliest of in terms of being receptive of God's life, meaning full of what? Full of awareness of self. And nevertheless, by the giving of the Torah, even the maid was able to prophesy. Meaning to say that God merged with something very lowly. I guess at that moment, the maid what? Reached a total state of surrender. Even though naturally, she's of a coarser material, and not made to be something that God should express himself and be totally one with Hashem. That's the chiddush of why the Nevi'im, and that's why the Nevi'im were the ones, after the prophet, had to create the name Tzavakas. Because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't need the name of Tzavakas. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was transmitting Torah from Atzilus. And the world and the recipients, the souls and the recipients were standing in Atzilus, and in Atzilus they were receiving the divine light. Taking it, integrating it, and now of course they did physical acts, but they were able to tap into that spirituality of the mitzvah of Atzilus and do the mitzvah in that way. And thereby, in the time of the prophets, they lost that, and therefore they stopped doing mitzvahs, as we said, because the mitzvah was sort of above them; it was up there in the clouds, and they couldn't relate to it. So the Navi had to come and create a new name of God. He had to bring Torah down. But to bring Torah down, he had to unite the vessels, being that the Navi didn't want to say his own words. The Navi wanted to say God's words. But the Navi belongs to the world of Nebriya. These Nevi'im, they're... there's one more point that needs to be emphasized before we can continue. Why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't bring it down lower? So I said one reason was because they didn't need it. Because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't need the people didn't need because they could receive at the level of Atzilus. And the other reason is because Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't a level of Atzilus. So he can only bring it down to where he is. Moshe was a level, he was a soul of Atzilus. He was belonged to the world of Atzilus. So therefore he brought Torah down, he brought the God's light down to where he was. And from there he projected it outwards. However, the Nevi'im, they belonged where their souls stem from the world of Bria. And their prophecy is a prophecy of what? Of divine manifestation as it manifests in the world of Bria. Therefore, in order for them to speak, and that their speech should be the word of God, what has to happen? God has to merge with an entity of Bria. For that you have to create a new name. And that is Tzavakas, because that's what the name of Tzavakas is. The name Tzavakas is now referring to Hashem himself. Let's read inside. Yes? There was a compromise. Because it's not that it became Atzilus. It's because I'm telling you, the maid prophesied. When the maid prophesied, she was a maid. For the time being,
but the killing became in the level of the killing of Atzilus.
At the time that they prophesied. At the time of the prophesied. Because essentially it's a Bria. Essentially it belongs to the realm. Well, how was this made after? Do you think this made after she went through the Yamsuf was a tzaddik like Yecheskel? Even though it says Ra'as Shivcha Balayam, that's what Yecheskel and Avi didn't see. No, she returned back to being who she was. At the time of the prophecy, she reached that state of self-abnegation, of totally connection. But at the time, So here's the same point. When God, and that's why interesting, Moshe Rabbeinu was always ready for prophecy. He didn't have to prepare himself. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu was in a constant state of Kelam of Atzilus. And Kelam of Atzilus are always ready for God's light. Moshe was Anachnu Ma, I'm what? So at any time God can speak to him. His essential character was that. The Nevi'im were already creations. Very holy spiritual people, but nevertheless, their souls had a certain self-awareness. So therefore, they themselves have to play music and go into a deep meditation and to rise to the peak of highest type of something. And then God would meet them at the peak of their form. And even then, what would happen to them? They would completely be thrown around and experience very powerful convulsions, meaning there was a total disintegration of them because you're dealing with a coarse tailing. You're dealing with something coarse. It's almost like the difference between oil. And when you're burning, fire is consuming. So fire is consuming oil, or it's consuming a rougher material. When it's referring oil, what happens? It's a very silent. It's quiet. The oil gets absorbed into the flame quietly, silently. There's no friction. There's no noise. If you're burning a piece of wood, there is noise. Why? Because here you're dealing with something that is essentially is coarse, thick, full of itself. It doesn't want to give up its ego. It doesn't want to surrender itself to the fire. The oil goes silently, without a fight. Why? Because it's essentially made to be bottled, to be notified to the fire. Moshe Rabbeinu was like oil. He flowed automatically. Any time you take it, it would ignite. The Navi wouldn't always ignite. It was at times. But the point, the chiddush is that the fact that there could be a Navi, that even though it's something that is quite coarse, nevertheless it can carry and transmit the word of God itself, and not just be saying something that he heard, but that his word should be God's words itself. Not telling you, not a translation. Not a translation, but it should be Hashem speaking. You needed God. God had to lower himself, and who accomplished that? A wonderful woman, Chana. She was the one who made that breakthrough. Of you're going to see in the Maamar of bringing and enabling God to unite with the world, with the Kelam of Bria. Maybe, yeah, in a sense, like a Beinoni during davening, as opposed to the Tzaddik who is a. All right, let's read inside. Why? Why? We understand why the whole Torah, the name Tzvakas, is not Rakshem Avay Lavad. Chana on Rakshem Tzvakas. Chana for Rakshem Tzvakas. Ki Moshe Rabbeinu Olav Hashalim Shezacha Shetinosin HaTayr Al Yadoi, that he merited Torah should be given through him. Hainu Lefi Shehim Shechislap Shesoyrin Shoyf Bekelem Dezah. Moshe Rabbeinu draw down the infinite light into the Kelem. Moshe also has to draw down. You could say, well, the Kelem are one. Yeah, but you need to get the juice flowing. You need to get the Oyrin Shoyf to come into the Kelem. And Moshe Rabbeinu accomplished that. He made that link. However, umisham nimshach ha'tayra kanal, and from there the Torah, and there that's where the Torah stems from. Umisham ha'isa nevi'asai, and that's where his prophecy stems from. Ki ikur nevu'asai ha'isa ma'atzilus. His nevu'ah, his prophecy was from the realm of Atzilus. Rak derech maver nimshach ha'yedei ha'briya. It only passed through Bria. What the Alter Rebbe is referring to is because certain Kabbalistic works have said that Moshe Rabbeinu prophesied from the world of Bria. And he was saying the whole time Moshe's prophecy was Atzilus. So he said that it really, essentially, was Atzilus that only passed through Bria. For whatever, not to get into this, or what that means. He did not draw down. He did not draw down that the Ein Sof should enclose itself in Bria, in Bria Tiyasim. In the same way that he unites with the vessels of Atzilus. That in the same way you should unite with the vessels of Biyah. Moshe couldn't accomplish this. Moshe didn't do this. They didn't need this. Why? Because Moshe had to give us the Torah. And the Torah flows. He was drawing the Torah from Atzilus, and the souls were able to receive it from Atzilus. So they got it, and everything was fine. However, the Shamas Yachad Oyrin Sevim Akelim. And over there is already. Over there, God is united with the Kelim. Adi Iyu Vedami Uchad Kenis Kaliel. Until the God and the vessels are one. In a sense, we look and we say, Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest accomplishment. Because he linked Hashem himself with any vessels. But from a certain perspective, the Nevi'im had a far greater accomplishment. Because Moshe linked God with vessels that were already godly. There wasn't really any real chiddush over here. It's something that is, he made God flow in God's emotions. He brought out, he revealed God's love. But it's only God's love. But that Hashem should project in a sphere lower, then that's a much greater chiddush. Ma'ashen ki bibiyah, eina gilui klal ba'akelim. There's no gilui at all in the kelim. The lav iyu vigar miyuchad b'hoim. God is not one with them. Kenoid as it is known. Aval ha-neviyim sha'achrov. But the subsequent neviyim, him shichu as oyering seif baruch hu, they draw God down. She'yislav bish gam kein b'kelim bibiyah. That Hashem should enclose itself further, even in where? In the Kelim of Bri Yetzirasiyah. Mashallah, how you can be in the Moshe Rabbeinu all of a shav. That was not there in the days of Moshe. The Hainu, and this is what we mean, Shachana Paschot Chiba B'Shem Tzvokos. This is what we mean, the Chana begins with the name Tzvokos. V'achreo Nimshchu Kol HaNeviyim. And afterwards all the other Neviyim. She'in Yin Shem Zeh. What does this name mean? Humoyral Inyin Islapshus Oyrin Soif B'Kelim D'Biyah. This means the infinite light is coming to vest itself in the Kelim of Bri Yetzirasi. Elias Mithyachad Bimoyim to unite with them Gamke. That's what it means, Tzavokos. Tzavokos are the many. And in a place of pluralism, in a place of many, Hashem should become one. And that's what actually means Tzavokos. The Gemara says Tzavokos comes from the word Oishu B'Tzvadele. He is a sign in his army. Which meaning, God's manifestation in an army. An army meaning many, many others. And nevertheless, he's a letter in them, or a sign in them. He comes into them. It's God's manifestation in creations. And they needed this. Now why do you need this? Because in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, Shahoysin of Yafi Matsilis, Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah, what's from Matsilis, Alkin Himshachlem Mamata HaTorah Misham Mitchenes Matsilis. He was able to bring the Torah down from Matsilis. And that's why Moshe wasn't speaking. It was God speaking through Moshe. Because that's what the whole world of Atzilus is. It's not them, it's something coming through it. Like the kind of Yisrael Atzayra, and the Yidden were able to receive it and fulfill the Torah. Somehow the Yidden were not doing the will of God, meaning the Yidden got disconnected from the Torah. And now the Nevi'im have to get them back on track. We have to relink the Jews back to the Torah. Now, so the Nevi'im want to give them, want to rebuke them. Now, however, we want that what? Moshe Rabbeinu rebuked the Yidden. The Jews kept on, you know, stepping off track during the time of the Midbar too. And then they got Moshe's rebuke. And Moshe, you know, geared them back onto the path. Moshe's rebuke was very powerful. You know why? Because it's not Moshe's rebuke. It's God's rebuke. And when God speaks to you, you listen. Or at least there's a much greater chance that you'll listen. But so it wasn't that Moshe heard from Hashem, and Moshe's own inspiration is. The problem is, now Moshe's not here, physically. Not here. Jews are going astray. We need now to rebuke them. So the Navi can get up and give a fiery speech and tell them, oh, you have to listen, and very nice. He'll be a preach. He'll preach and everything. Whose words will it be? It'll be the words of a Navi. It'll be the words of a great man, a great tzaddik. It's not God speaking. It's someone who's inspired by God speaking. That's not it. Who says it's going to have the effect? So what do we need? We need now that God should speak to the Navi, but the Navi is Bria. The Navi is not Atzilus. So that's what he's going to explain. The difference between the rebuke of the Navi, the Shah Mechiach, to anybody else who is rebuking, who orders up, Ki Bahanavi, Yenate Chachu, Devar Hashem. The rebuke is the word of God. Hamislavish Bidibura Shalanavi. That it clothes itself in the words of the Navi. V'nimtzohu yizbarachu ha-mechiyach. Hashem is the one who is rebuking. And that's why the Torah with the rebuke and everything has to come down from Atzilus to Biyah to Bri, Yetzirasira, Kadesh, Yekaimu, Yisrael, Atzilus. And the Torah should not be up there in the clouds, it should be down to earth, being able to relate to them. Because as the Torah was in Atzilus, as it was in the days of Moshe, the Yidden were not doing it, should be in the Nevi'im. The Yidden in the time of the Nevi'im were not fulfilling it. Why? After the generation of Moshe, Torah was way above them. Simple words. It's like a great professor who wants to teach something. So if he has a college graduate and a brilliant student who is going to teach a profound idea, so he can teach it on a level that he teaches to him. But then when he's going to teach it to a bunch of simple people, what does he have to do? To take that concept and reformulate it and bring it down to a whole new world so they can relate to a simple mind. There's a tremendous bringing it down. That's what the Rebbe is saying over here. The generation after Moshe didn't relate to that spiritual message of Moshe, of Atzilus to get a message. And therefore what happened was, they performed Torah and they did mitzvahs. It's not that there wasn't godliness in their act. There was, but they didn't feel connected. It didn't relate to them. It didn't speak to them. So you're going to say, well, because what bothered me when I was learning the Maamar is, they did physical mitzvahs in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. And if they did physical mitzvahs in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, meaning that what? That the godliness flows all the way down into our physical mitzvah. It's true. But the godliness remained in a state of Atzilus. Meaning to experience the mitzvah, to experience something, to attach yourself to the spiritual energy that's in the mitzvah, you have to rise and do the mitzvah in an atzilistic way. You have to do the mitzvah with total surrender to Hashem, not even with love of God, but with complete bitterness. You have to do it like Moshe Rabbeinu did mitzvahs. And the Yidden of his generation were affected by Moshe. So they did mitzvahs on that level. I mean, of course, relative. They were all within that taken and that experience, so they were able to, their souls were able to connect to the divinity of mitzvahs. Afterwards, what happened, they studied Torah and they did mitzvahs, but they and the mitzvahs remained separated. Because they were in Bria, or lower than that, and so we needed people to bring the actual experience down lower. That the godliness should be able to be felt and experienced in lower levels. And this really, even though the Rebbe says only about the Nevi'im, this really is true about all the later... as Torah gets transmitted through the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, it's all bringing, these are stages of bringing God's, the will and the wisdom of Hashem to lower, to more, and Rashi comes, and all transmitting the Torah, it's not just another interpretation. These are stages in the descent of Hashem's life. So we have Chassidus coming to us, bringing the experience to us. The fact that we're able to do a mitzvah today, even though we're so far from the Atzilus experience, and still send something, or at least at some time, if we try, we can feel something, it's because Torah has been brought down through the various tzaddikim, lower down to a place where we can do a mitzvah, even if we're an Asiyah Jew. We're a real Asiyah Yid, to be able to create the spirituality of the mitzvah. What? Is better. There is a virtue in doing a mitzvah when we don't feel anything, but that's there whether we like it or not. But we're supposed to try to of course the mitzvahs ultimately are supposed to affect us and become holy. And again, not it's like chliyas is lapshes a toira matzilus lebriya. Toira encloses itself from matzilus lebriya. The nimshach sham dvar Hashem b'fi anavi, and the word of God descended into the mouth of the navi lahazares Yisrael. To warn the Yidden, she came out there to fulfill the Torah. The Igia lehem ayedei zayit chacha. So now it reaches them the rebuke. Midvar Hashem mamish, from literal the words of God. Hamislapshim bekelim the biyah, that are now enclosed in the vessels of biyah. Umisham b'pi anavi. And from there the Navi gets it and he transmits it to us. So it's Hashem speaking through the Navi. And behold. Now the question, however, is, now by the way, I just want to emphasize one thing. This doesn't mean in any way that God now became greater, bigger, or because more was in, something was added to God because more was absorbed in Him. Till now, only Achilles was absorbed in Him. They brought that even Bria should be absorbed in God's life. It didn't add any addition to God, because from God's perspective, as I said earlier, even a stone is Him. So from Him, there's no changing. There is nothing but Him. The difference is only in the perception of worlds. So in the perception of worlds, Achilles is a world that's perceived as one with God. Bria is a world that's perceived not as one, as something other. Yetzirah even more distant. Asiya even more distant. The process of the Nevi'im was to make that the Bria experience from the perceptive of creations, that too should be totally one and unite with Hashem. Now, the problem is, we know a Navi is not going to add anything to the Torah. According to what we're saying now, the Nevi'im added. They brought the Torah down. So he explains, they didn't add anything. They just extended it lower. This is nothing new. The Tosfos Alteres Moshe Rabbeinu. This is not a chiddush and something new on the Torah of Moshe. Like I'm shachas that Torah believe Tosfos the Giroi. It's drawing the Torah down without adding anything. Matzilus to Bria, from Matzilus to Bria. Zero Indian. For example, I think it doesn't say this much. I didn't see it anywhere. I'm afraid to give my own examples. But for example, this would be. If you for a little child you take the concept of 2 plus 2, and you invest it in the marshal of two apples and another two apples equals four apples. You didn't add. You didn't make anything new. You just put the concept and merged it with a marshal that marshal is now conveying this idea, and the originator of that marshal. Someone, imagine someone who comes up with this new example. So he has now merged the idea with right? Now, the Zeru Inyan Shem Tzvakas, and this is the concept of Tzvakas, Shenishka Benevim. Tzvakas hu lashon chayalos. Tzvakas means the myriads of armies, right? Hosts. The Ham Jidude Nishamas. These are legions of souls. Malachim and angels, the Bria Bria, Asher Ein Mispar, they have no number. The Pedudav, Asher Ein Mispar, there's no number to his legions. The Hem Nivroi, Mamuchadashim, Ein Leyesh Mamish. They are creations. I mean, as we said before, in Bria, the things are creations. They're not extensions. They're not expressions of Him. But rather, they're creations. They're something new. Because of the screen, because of what makes them feel that they're new. The Einam HaMakhus Klau, and they're not at all godly. Kamoy Atzilus, like Atzilus. Shuhu B'chinesh HaMakhus Mamish, which is really a Makhus. The Achol Pikeh, nevertheless, HaNevi'im Mshichu, the Nevi'im draw down, Shiyislabish Behem Oirin Saif Baruch. That the Oirin Saif should become one with Tzavakos. So now when we say Tzavakos, it's not armies, it's God. Because they're now assimilated in Hashem. They're absorbed in Him. The Tachlis Ayichud, with absolute unity. Kamoishin Eslavish became on Atzilus. As He unites with the attributes of Atzilus. Abi'il v'gami yuchad. Till He unites and He and His garments become one. At sheyiyah nikra ha'oirin soif amal v'bish behem b'shem tzvokas. Until the oirin soif itself should be called by their name. Shehu shem atoya, which is actually a name of description. It's a descriptive term. He is the army. He is the host. It's not he is the power over the host. He is the host. Mamish. He is totally one. Shabbat Silas. Just like in Atzilus, that He Himself is the knowledge. It's not that he possesses knowledge. He is the knowledge. Kach misyachid b'kelim b'biyah. He unites with these vessels. Atshahu atzmai hu atzvaos. So He Himself is the armies. The loyshahem nifradim b'snei atzmai. And they're not that they are separate. Raksha b'telim aylov. And the meaning is not that they're something other, but nullified to Him. See, it's possible you have something that is essentially something else. Oh, for example, what? The soul and the body merge. Okay? The soul and the body merge. They become one. And here, it's not that the body is nullified to the soul. They're one. They become one entity. This is a human being. A human being is a body merged with the soul. Now, and that is your fingers. Your fingers are part of, like, the body. It's part of you. Now, what happens if you go and you put on a glove? A glove. You put a glove onto your hand. So here you have a glove. And the glove is not totally surrendered to you. Why? Because wherever you will move your finger, the glove will move along. Okay? But it's not that the glove and the person now have merged as one entity. The glove is surrendered to the person. But it hasn't become one. So you have to realize the extent of how much God becomes one with these creations. See, it's an amazing chiddush. It's an amazing concept. The Tzemach Tzedek writes that this is not found in Eitz Chaim. The Arizal does not speak about this. That the name Tzavakis is a name where God merges with Kelim of Bria. Such a thing is not mentioned in any previous Kabbalah. And the Rebbe in the Maimer says, what the Tzemach Tzedek meant to say is that it's the Alter Rebbe's chiddush. This is a novelty of the Alter Rebbe. That's what Tzavakis is. That's God merging, actually becoming one with the Kelim, more than the glove. It's like they become one entity, totally one. And the example the Alter Rebbe gives is Loishem Nifradim B'Tnayatver Akshav B'Teim Meilav. It's not that they're separate, but Vatul El Shem Siachav Imam Mamish literally becomes one. Well, Kamashal and as a Mashal Yichud V'Chivur, the unity and the connection Haneshama Imaguf, the body with the soul with the body. Shagam Shagufu Akeli, even though the guf is a keli, V'Ikaru Haneshama, the main thing is Haneshama in Kozer. He unites with the body. Shenikra Adam. When we say person, what do we mean? A soul without a body is not a person. A body, a lifeless body without a soul is not a person. When they unite, it becomes a person. It is a person. Shenikra Adam. Anashama shebaguf. The ein la haguf shein defnei atzmo. It's not that the guf has a name onto its own, and it's nullified to the soul. Ukadein kamsa, and it's like the turtle. The levushe meneyobei. Its garment, it has a thick garment, but that garment is in itself. So here the Rebbe gives another example, like you call a person who studied chachma, wisdom. We call him b'shem chacham. We call him as wise. And the truth is, in the synopsis that he writes over there. He describes it, he says an interesting thing. When we say about a person that he's wise, wise doesn't really say that he is wise. He has wisdom. So it doesn't refer so much to the human, to the person himself. It's what if the person carries wisdom, a person that has wisdom is wise. But if you, let's say you use the word sage, what is that? That's already far more descriptive. Not a person that has wisdom. Sages is that combination of a human being and wisdom together. That's what the sage. It's descriptive on him, on the person. The person is a sage. It's far more. That's what the Rebbe is saying over here in regards to into being. That by Hashem you unite with them to he is tzvakish. Not that he has tzvakish. He is the tzvakish. And even though, let's say, by how do you become a sage? You have a person, and you have knowledge. The knowledge, the information, the data, is a thing unto its own. It exists before a person ever studied it. Here you have an example where you have what? You have two entities. You have a human being and you have knowledge. And the human being merges with the knowledge to the point that the knowledge becomes the person. That's similar, the Rebbe is using that as the analogy, where you have Kalim of Bria, which are an entity on their own, and nevertheless God merges with them. The wisdom before you learn Tumahus Bifnei Atzmai is its essence on its own, Zulas Adam, without the person. Shalom, the Adam Umahus Bifnei Atzmai, and man is an essence on his own. Ukeshakana Chachma. However, when he acquires the wisdom, Nikra Chacham Al Shema Chachma. He is called Chachman. He is called wise or sage, attributed to the Chachma. Shu Shema Tzayi, which is a descriptive term. Kacha Derech Mashal Lamayla above. In Meyayfa Kelim Dibiya Hemohus Tifnayatzma. Even though the Kelim of Bria are a Mohus for themselves, are an essence of the world, Dichin of Neshamus. Their souls, Umalachim and angels, Nevra'im creations. Raksha, the Kelim of Yisbarach. Yes, they're nullified to him, but nevertheless, they're entities on their own. Ach Im Kozeh, nevertheless, Al Yedei Shem Shichu HaNeviyim. Through this accomplishment of the Neviyim, Liyazgilui Oirin Seif Baruch Hu Bahem, that God, that there should be a revelation of the insight in them, al derech yichud de batzilus, in the same way that he, in the same manner that he unites in atzilus, oz mikrohu yizbarech havaya tzavakos. That's why God himself, it's already, tzavakos becomes the name of Hashem, havaya tzavakos. Shushem atzayer, it's the scriptive turn on him, shuhu yizbarech hu echad em atzvois. He is one with them, and now va'enam atzvod, and they're not separated. Well, lechein, and therefore, shem havaya mitztarif l'shem tzavakos. This is why that is an interesting thing. We will never find the name Tzavakas on its own. It will always be preceded by the name Havaya. Havaya Tzavakas. Why Havaya Tzavakas? Because in order to have Tzavakas, you need just like in Atzilus, you need to have Havaya as that oil that flows into the Kelim. So too over here, you have to extend it further. So you have to bring Havaya, the Oir Ein Sof, the undefined light, should flow all the way down into the lower vessels. So there has to be Havaya. Then you can ask a question, how come in Atzilus you can find something as the name of Elohim on its own? The answer is, because over there the essential vessels themselves are godly on their own. They're in an absolute state of unity with God. So you could speak about the vessels in a godly name even without introducing the Havaya. Of course, it's far more powerful once you have Havaya Elohim, then you have the flow of the oil in the vessels. But Tzavakis, being that in essence, these hosts are creations non-God, it's only when this flow takes place that they unite with Him to the point that they become totally one with Him. So you cannot have the name Tzavakis without the Havaya. That's why it's called Havaya Tzavakis, as he explains. The chen shem avayi nitzarim l'shem tzavakos, ki shem avayi hu batzilus. Shem avayi is the oir in atzilus. Uhu amshachas oir in tzayif bekelem batzilus. And that's the drum of the ein tzayif in the kelem of atzilus. The imkain in the soul, the deshi is mashach oir in tzayif bebiyah, in order for the oir in tzayif should come further down in biyah. Hu ayu dey shem avayi betchila. It's through the shem avayi descending. There's our avayi tzavakos. Ela acher shem shichu anaviyim chenazu. And after the Nevi'im first accomplished this, Azaya Chichu Es Yisrael, then they rebuked it. First they have to merge with God. You can say, parenthetically, before you rebuke someone, first go out of yourself completely. Become a complete knot. And in that state of not, when you reach that ultimate state of no self-awareness at all, then you can rebuke. But he ended up saying, in terms of being that the Oir Ein Sof has to, it's God that needs to rebuke them. So that's why they first have to merge the Oir Ein Sof with the Kedah. And the Chena, therefore, Azeh Chichu Es Yisrael, the shame is that with this name. Ki Metchina Zusha Bebriya Nimshach HaNevuah. From this level of Briya, the Nevuah flows. La'anavi to the Navi, Dvar Hashem, the word of God, Mamash. And Devar Hashem manish, the word, literal word of God, Hu HaMashiach Es Yisrael. This is what rebukes them. The Loi Gam Meklal Hashem Mashiach. And therefore they're not similar to any other preacher or whatever. Shehi Pechachas HaNimra. That is already a rebuke of a creation. Hezeu Pechachas HaBoyre. And this is the rebuke of God. Speaking Yisbarach Mamish, literally here. Ba'akoyach Lam Shachazu. And the power to do this, the power to break through this parsha, this division that separated Atzilus from Bria till now, and to bring God down to manifest Himself in the kingdom of Bria, for this He needed a very great power. And this is what the Rebbe is now going to say, that the Nevi'im, in essence, the Nevi'im are source higher than Moshe. Because they were able to reach what? The Oir Ein Sof, as it is completely, completely disconnected from any source of projection, and therefore, they were able to bring this indiscrimination, because really there's a system. There is rules. The rules and regulations is that God needs a certain type of keli for him to be able to unite with. It needs to be. So therefore, Atzilus is a right vessel, is a refined vessel, and Bria is not a refined vessel. And therefore, it cannot host God. It is that, how can it be? Because you have to go beyond the system. You have to transcend the system. From the system, it can't be. The system was set up that Atzilus is a vessel, and Bria is not a vessel. So you have to reach a level that is completely beyond the system, God himself. And God himself, as he is in his true essential state of being, of self, over there, Atzilus is also not a thing. As great as Atzilus is, it's still not a thing. It's not something that calls for, that by its own virtue should allow for God to merge with it. And from that perspective, just like God can be one with this, he can be one with this. That's the point. And that's what the Rebbe say. How are they able to ba'koyach lamshach hazushayya oirin tzayt nishwabiz b'vi'al derechanal kiba'atzilis himshichu anaviyin mitchinash ha'igol? They have to go out of the system of light, which is what we call, you know, in any Kabbalistic works. If you open up the books and you see all the charts, you see a bunch of circles and lines. Right? So the the lines are representing already God coming into a systematic approach to the world. Contracting, level after level after level. It's a little thin. That's where we go through the process of Atzilus. That's where Moshe was bringing from that level of Kav. And there, Atzilus, yeah, Bria not. But the circle represents what? An encompassing light of God. We spoke in the previous classes many times. Infinitely transcending Atzilus and Bria equally. And from there, if he can unite with Atzilus, he can unite with Bria. So they have to reach this eagle, this circle light. They have to reach this soivet, this oid of energy. Soivet kolam and hashasham kechashecha ka'ira. Their darkness is equal like light, shavim. Hashavu maz v'kap the gadol, where the big and the small are equal. Shohei das piyachol lishpul asatzmoi. He is able to lower himself. Lamat v'matah gam b'diyah. He is able to lower himself all the way down below. Ki tamei is barach kulam shavim. Because in front of him, everybody's equal. Under the Zerayah Yisrael, meaning that God encompasses all levels. And this will understand what it says by Chana. Who was the one who enabled this law? We said Chana. Chana was one of the first one who called God Shlokas. What did she say? When she prayed to God, it says that Tispalil Chana, Chana Davind, it says, instead of saying El Hashem, the prophet is careful, the prophet says, Al Hashem, on Hashem. Okay, and probably the comment that we say, you know, Al can sometimes be El, it's almost the same word, right? Al. Seems like a slip over there, like an Al is supposed to be El Hashem. But really, it's not that. The Torah is into for Hannah to be able to call God Shavuot, she first had to go Al Havayah. She had to climb up to a plane beyond Avaya. Because from the system of Avaya, Avaya energy can only come in Atzilus. And it's a process. Avaya begins with that yud, begins with that contraction, with that kav, with that line. From there it already it discriminates. This yeah, this no. But when we reach up Al Avaya, above beyond Avaya, from there you can create the emergence of Hashem with Tzavakas. But the spell Al Hashem, the timer Avaya Tzavakas. Then she said Avaya Tzavakas. She had to reach up to a place alavai and lamai l'meshem avai. The mavur apirish b'zeh b'makam achar ayin apashim mishpatim apostik leishia m'shakeh l'vakar. Okay, as hard as this maimo was to understand and to here the last piece of the maimo is really hard to figure out what the alphabet is trying to connect over here. Now he's bringing it back to our pasuk, which is speaking about not Hashem's name Tzavakis, but it's speaking about that when Yidden went out of Mitzrayim, Yatzu Tzivais Hashem. And it says Tzivais Hashem. Now here the word Tzivais is the same letters as Tzavakis. However, the pronunciation is instead of Tzavakis, it's Tzivais. Whenever you have a word with a chiruk, that the sound, the E sound, the chiruk sound, what it does is, it makes, it's what we call smichas. It makes the word be linked up with the next word. For example, if we would say, okay, B'nai Yisrael. So B'nai Yisrael is like children of Israel. One word gets integrated into the other. So when we say Tzibah Savaya, what are we saying? Instead of saying God of hosts, what are we speaking about? We're saying the hosts of God. Okay? Very different. God of hosts. So there, the name Tzvakos is a name of God Himself, as God is manifesting, as Hashem is manifesting Himself in the Tzvakos. Tzibah Savaya is what? The armies of Avaya. Meaning, that what? That it's Avaya, and the armies are sort of nullified to Him. What is the significance? And why in the Torah we do find Tzivos? The Rebbe is saying over here, my Moshe Rabbeinu, we do find Tzivos. But we only find the name Tzivos as what? As Tzivos Avaya. As totally nullified Avaya. So what is the point? The Rebbe is saying like this sort of. As mentioned above, the name Tzivos is God merging with entities that are essentially a part of Him and have an identity. Like the Navi who is, has a sense of self. And at the time of the Nevuah, somehow he's overtaken by the God, by the divine manifestation in him, and he melts into God at that point. So we're dealing with a state of beingness, a state of otherness. Amen. And it's Hashem coming down low into those other beings. Tzivos Havayah is where the creations of Bria, instead of them being in Bria, and this is like, oh, before we would, oh, they're up here, huh? Good. No, you mentioned something before, and I in regards to what we're learning now. You mentioned before, we were talking about, does it mean that they rose up to be in a state of Atzilus? Mm-hmm. Or does it mean that God lowers Himself down to Tzvakos? Tzvakos means that Hashem lowers Himself down to creations of, to beings that are really, and that's what I was mentioning before, they're really separate, but of course at the time of the Nevuah they unite, but really they're essentially separate beings. And God unites with them. Tzibah Savaya means the ability that Yidden did, as we see soon in Mitzrayim, to take the creations from Bria, rise them up, the armies themselves, that they become totally nullified to Havaya. To the point that what? That we can't call them armies anymore. That Tzibah is Havaya. The armies of Havaya. But when they're armies of Havaya, they're not identifiable as what? As being an army, as being something. In the name Tzvakos, what's happening is, they are them, but God chooses to manifest Himself in them. So there's a certain, it's a lower state. They're in a state of non-godly state. Nevertheless, the breakthrough of the Nevi'im was to bring Hashem down, even to those Kelim that are in that semi-bittul, semi-ability to be able to be totally, and nevertheless, God unites with those creations. So the Savaya is that through the work that Yidden did in Mitzrayim, through the Galus, they caused the Birur and the sparks, and they brought these sparks. Where are these sparks? These sparks fell into Bria, Yetzir, and Asiya. These sparks. But the Yidden brought them up where? To a total subjugation in Atzilus. And when they subjugate in Atzilus, they become armies of Avaya, and therefore we can't call it as a name. The name, so it's really, Hashem is united with them. So it's like Tzavakos. But we can't call it as an independent name because it's overwhelmed by the Havaya. When we're dealing with the Havaya coming down to Tzvakos, we don't sense the Havaya that much. It becomes God merges with the souls. He merges with them. They're speaking God's words. But we hear them. We hear the Navi's voice. We hear that voice, you should know, is really Hashem's being transmitting through the Navi. But Tzivos Hashem meaning totally identitless, because a complete mergence with Hashem. And that's where Moshe Rabbeinu relates to the name of Tzvakos. Meaning, if by Moshe Rabbeinu there will be any Tzvakos, hosts, creations, those creations have to merge into ourselves. It's not that God will merge with them in their world, but rather those creations have to be completely sublimated and brought into the world of Atzilus. And then they can unite with Hashem. So it's the Tzivah is Havayah. The Tzivah is go up to be totally, to be one with Havayah. Well, let's read inside. I think it will be better understood when we read. Yeah.
Hashem
is, of course, no ma'ilo lamata, and Tzivah Havayah is no ma'ilo lamata. That's right. That's sort of what it is. It's not a description on its own, but rather smichas, the whole spot of him. What is it referring to? Referring to the spot when Yidden went out of Mitzrayim, they brought along with themselves the sparks that they excavated, that they were able to ride to pick up. Those sparks and this barred the galus. They were refined in the galus, the Mitzrayim, and this alda when they were rose. We call the shame of Ayah to be included in the name of Ayah. Hema nikwes tzivay savaya. The tzivay, when it says the etzmayim as they yatzul kol tzivay savaya, means the Jews extracted all the sparks. The sparks rose up. When they went out, the Yidden, because Hashem sent the Yidden and the Tzayim, their job was to come out with the great wealth. They came out with not just the physical wealth, but the great spiritual wealth. They took all those potent energies that were concealed and buried in Bria, and they absorbed that all into God. But where? And to a level of Atzilus. Because the 248 sparks fell in the shattering of the vessels. 202 sparks were elevated in Mitzrayim. And afterwards we're left with 86, the gematria of Elohim. And that's what we're refining in our goals. But they took the bulk of it. 202, they were already able to extra, because they were very great souls. They were far superior souls to us. And therefore, each neshama was able to sweep up all this, as opposed to us being little sparks. Each one can only take a spark of a spark of a spark, because each one of these 86 sparks break up into millions of little tiny sparks. And our neshamas are not powerful enough to elevate the spark itself, but just the little details. They cleaned out the Mitzrayim. They, what's the word? No, they not school. That's why. How do they translate Yenatsu? I don't know. What? Yeah, what's the meaning of the word? Zesha Amar, and this is what it means. Vagam Erev Rav Olovita. It says a mixture of Rav, of multitudes. Simple, it means that many Egyptians came along and they were integrated into the Jewish people. What is the deeper meaning? A mixture of Rav. Rav is 202. So it says when they went out of Egypt, Gam Erev Rav, also the 202 sparks, Olovimam, went with them. And maybe, possible, that the form of those 202 sparks were in the form of these Egyptians that converted and came along. That could be, I'm not sure. But that being that it's referring to them, but them, meaning the Goyim that joined the Jewish people. It's something that was part of the darkness that came along. Eid of Rav, the 202. Exit, and it also says, Rav Lach, Hashem says to Moshe, enough for you. Because Moshe was the one who took them out of the Zion. So you have the 202 sparks, Rav Lach. To you is 202. Well, Pilish, the Indian, Shanikra Tzivay Shavaya. So why are they called now Tzivay Shavaya? Why are they called the armies? Now these are called the armies, the hosts of God. Pidchinas Tafel V'samach L'shem Havayah, and they're talking them. Because what is Havayah? Havayah is Atzilus. The level of Atzilus is that Ma'ir of Havayah. They're talking about Atzilus. Inyan, the idea of the spouse. Because these 248 sparks have the pchinas shemois, they're from the names Ayin, Bey, Samach, Kimel, Ma'o, Ban. These are the four names, as we spoke other times in the classes, the various manifestations of God's names, of the name of 72, the name of 63, the name of 45, the name of 52, corresponding to how we pronounce the Havayah, how we fill the letters, right? We spoke about it. We're not going to get into that. Now, so that's where these sparks come from. Now, The kasha nizbar, but once they were refined and excavated and elevated from the yah, lachzor l'sharsham, so these sparks fell from a very lofty place down into Bria, and now when they were elevated and they go back to their root, of Einam, Nikram, the same as Elu Klal. You can't call them by their names. Why? Because you can only call someone by his name when he's an identity, when he's perceivable. When someone is lost in a crowd, then you don't see him, then you don't notice him. You don't have his name. His name is only when something stands out. So these names are only of Tzavakos, they have their names when they stand out. But once the Jews brought the Bittul to them, we merged and assimilated these parts into God to that degree that they became nameless. Because all we see is Avaya. You don't even see them. The nation of Shkalamu, the Mekairam, they became so absorbed in their source. The Tachl Shayich with utter unity, the Tach Einam Oilam, the same cloud. They don't go up, they're not called in any name. And the muscle, the analogy that Rabbi Zayin says, when a person contemplates the greatness of God, with contemplation and grasp, a person can contemplate great contemplation and come to a strong feeling of inspiration, and fine, wonderful. But he feels, he has a certain sense of what? That he is, he has self-awareness that he's gotten it, and that he loves Hashem. So there's a certain yesha sagar. Ultimate, but when you have self-awareness, then you're not there yet. Where is the ultimate? That's only a preceding step. Ultimate state is when a person reaches a point that he's not even conscious that he is experiencing anything. At that moment of total self-transcendence and total merging with that which you're connecting to. Avakshin is back of the Matthias Lagamri, when he becomes totally nullified, us in a Margisha Sagavabit. Doesn't even feel that he is nullified. So to call them by divine names means they have a name. They're identifiable. So the Khinafyeshva Dharma to be a somebody. Kimu Bhaka Lagamra, the Takhus Abitl. Now the person is in a state of absolute bitl. Bali Argasha Kla without any sense at all. Takal Derech Mashal so to one suits in these parts to tell you of the world of chaos or the world of Tayu. Shanaful Bishira they fell into the state of Gavos. Yeshua and Shemites, they have names. What does it mean they have names? Says them that shows that they have some identity, some beingness. Achanikra Bashem, they call it a name. Says that Wagilu is a lasai. What is a name? A name is the way I represent myself to someone else. Meaning I have to be a somebody to present myself. Kamoya Adam said that there's an absolute insarah shame. A person by himself doesn't mean his name. Another person. And another person can only call you if you have a presence, if you are a being. The Kivan and his Baradu Bachazr Lumakayram, but since they refine and return to their source, the Tachlis Abitul, with utter nullification, the Skala Balakus, to be included and to be absorbed in Hashem, as Amen, Shamus Klau, they have no name. Elachay Nikra, and that's why us, that's why they're called, Tzivay Savaya. Tzivay Savaya. They're nullified and tuffled and included in the name Avai. However, that's the sparks. How about the Jewish people themselves? Being that the Jewish people were the ones who elevated the sparks, so the Pasha continues later, Hoitzi Hashem as B'nai Yisrael al Tzivoysam. On their hosts. What does it mean, on their hosts? Because above the host, because being that the Yidden, the Jews were the ones that elevated the sparks to this state of absorbence in Hashem's light, so the ultimate Aliyah was on the Jewish souls themselves, because they were raised up to a place beyond, even higher than the sparks, even higher than the name Havaya. And therefore, the sparks become La Tzivay Savaya. And the Yidden were raised to a place even beyond Avaya, even though the Rebbe doesn't say that over here, but the Rebbe has a few Maimara built on this Maimon. Now, there the Rebbe explains, what is the connection of this Tzavakos to the Tzavakos for learning Tumah? Tzavakos for learning Tumah was what? Hashem merging, breaking through, merging with the lower attributes, with our world. Here we're talking with a complete state of transcending and bringing it up. The Rebbe says, here's the point. What did we say before? Chana is the one who accomplished this. How did Chana accomplish it? By reaching Alavaya. Which means in order to be able to create this mergence of God Himself with what? With the Kalim of Bria, you have to get to God's essence. You have to get to completely beyond. What enabled the name Tzavakish to come into being was the fact that Yidden accomplished in Golis, Yatsu Tzivayis Hashem. They elevated Bria, they elevated the sparks to be completely nullified in what? In Achilles. And through that they were riding above their sparks. Meaning they were elevated, the Jewish soul connected to what? To Al Havai, to above Havai. And therefore Jews were able to accomplish later that Tzavakos, that Hashem should become one, manifest in creation, one with the creation. It was that power of Tzivay Savaya that enabled later that Chana should say. So Chana only revealed what the Jews really accomplished in Mitzrayim. It was only an unraveling of this throughout the Nevi'im, and we're really continuing this constantly. By learning Torah and doing mitzvahs in our own lives, we bring God to a new dimension, to a place farther and farther and farther away from into worlds that are darker, into worlds that are more separate than Hashem. And here's something, you know, to take from the mind in our personal lives. Sometimes we feel that the Torah doesn't speak to us because we're so far, because feel so detached, so removed. So realize that that's your opportunity. Your opportunity now is to merge Hashem with something that is the most separate from Him. And it seems like that's God's thrill. The more something is separate from Him, the greater something can merge with Him. I mean, the greater the delight that it surrenders and merges with Him. So even though you feel separate, if you do a mitzvah, you're bringing Hashem's light into your detached space, and connecting that with Hashem, creating Tzivus Havaya, and that's why Yidna called Tzivus Hashem, to bring what? Hashem's light into the entire universe, into the entire world.